Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
I poured it in my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops. Okay?
You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
Make some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah, it's going to be good beer. It's fine.
God damn it, man. Oh, my God. Oh, uh-oh.
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the program, and thanks for tuning in to the Brewing Network live streaming audio and podcast.
Cacophony.
Yeah, it's a bit of everything here. Broadcasting live, of course, from the Hop Grenade studio in Concord, California, where the Pokemon struggle is real.
I like the
Pokemon
is great.
The Pokemon struggle is real.
Yeah. I was here Saturday night when the place erupted with pokers.
Oh, yeah, because there was a Poke-a-thon, or whatever they're called, in the park.
Yes.
There was a Poke-gather.
It was thick with them.
So were they here for beer, or were they here because there's a Pokemon inside?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
They were here because the Hop Grenade is a central location to the Poke world. There is a thing at the fountain that people do. I don't know what it is, but it's a thing that they do. There's a thing at the clock tower that people do, and I think that one's cool because they, like, fight and shit. And then there's a thing at the EJ Fair next to us, and then if you sit right here at the Hop Grenade, all of the things are triangulated to your little guy, so you can do all three things, but not have to move your fat ass anywhere to do it.
Wow. Is that something you had to pay for?
Which
or
is
just
what
happen?
I like about this sort of thing is not moving.
Yeah,
I'm not a player, but I'm saying I appreciate
the triangulation. Couldn't be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know how that works. It takes photographs of the area that are geo-coded.
Yes, thank you.
And your sign is one of those things.
Actual sign?
Yeah, because think of all the odd time people come here.
Yeah.
A lot of us are listening now.
Yeah.
They always take a picture of that sign.
Oh, I love
it. So it's not, businesses don't pay to be a special location.
Not this one.
Not
tell you that right now.
It's like $1.50 an hour or something. I mean, really.
Well, the cool thing is like the players have done it for us. We haven't had to.
They've done all the
because, I mean, why wouldn't you want to sit and have a beer while you're doing your thing?
While you're poking them on.
But I guess on Saturday, there was like a...
an excursion. Like
I don't know,
a group.
Yeah, like a... like a
it was a field trip.
It's like a beer crawl, but
and
for Pokemon.
It was like in the park, and you could go around, you could go everywhere, and I guess it started and ended here at the Hop Grenade.
So even though, and I remember on the last show, you were reading a flyer, and they were pitching you
oh, that's right.
for a discount.
That's right.
So even though you didn't provide said discount,
I refused.
They still started and ended here anyway.
They did.
Yeah. Oh.
See how that works?
They still have to play stuff either way.
They like it when you play hard to get.
Yeah, they do.
I'm like a hot chick now. I just bat them off left and right.
You're like any chick. You get hotter with the more alcohol you have around you.
That's right. So. I wonder when the pokey world is going to clash with the beer nerd world and start getting territorial about the hop grenade. Like when, you know what I mean? Is there going to be like,
quick crowding my spot?
It'll be
a turf war.
Will it be a thing? Will it be a turf war eventually? The people will be like, I was a hop grenade OG. I was always here, man. And then the pokey guys will be like, yeah, but we're here now and there's more of us. And then there'll be a fight about it.
About the thing.
It'll be like a Pokemon fight.
Will it be a virtual fight or a real fight?
Hmm. These are all questions that remain to be answered.
I'm currently watching a Pokemon fight.
Well, there's the app you need to write where we come up, a conflicting app or a competing app.
Oh, God.
Where we could, interject into their alternate reality.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right. The beer nerds can join in.
Exactly.
I like this idea.
We'll jump the game.
All right. Well, I'm just, current events, just talking about how things are unfolding in our world. And if you're not seeing this happen in your neighborhood, then... you're in a third world country listening to this program, which is possible.
Well, it's not in every country yet, so you may not be in
that. Yeah, or you're not paying attention. I had a friend the other day who was like, I don't know what everybody's talking about. I haven't seen any of these people. And I was like, turn to your right, right now. There's 18 people playing. Right, just turn.
I haven't seen any of those people either.
You can't see.
Oh, yeah, right. That might be why.
Beardy, that's different. JP, join the program.
I'm here.
Thank you.
I'm laughing. I'm making comments.
I don't. No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
Maybe a giggle here and there, but get off the computer.
I was doing the Twitter game.
That's cool. Be here for the beginning of the program. I'm asking. What is that?
You had a Pokemon sitting on your soundboard.
Oh, I have Pokemon on my studio soundboard.
Wow. He caught it.
It's been there the whole time. You didn't even notice.
You got to catch them all.
Wow. Okay.
That's the saying, right?
Put them on the list.
I don't know.
I nailed it.
That's a thing.
Crushed it.
That's a super thing.
Okay.
Do you think someone's going to start being allergic to Pokemon now? You think that's going to be a thing?
I'm Pokemon free.
Right, yeah. A Pokemon free zone.
I have a Pokemon intolerance.
The ironic part is that people eat cage-free eggs but capture Pokemon.
Yeah.
I can see that happening. Mm. Like, free the Pokemon. Mm.
Free them.
Right.
Stop capturing them.
Stop it. Let them run free.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That should be the beer nerds game. They can free other people's Pokemon if they're not paying attention. In the hop grenade.
If I knew how the game worked, I feel like I would understand that this is a good idea.
Yeah, I don't really understand the game either. It's pretty stupid. Okay. I don't like it. I stopped playing it.
Okay.
I'm buzz bored with it.
Well, today's program is brought to you by our good friends over at More Beer. You can go to morebeer.com and check them out right now. They brought you this session, and they do it every time we do the session. They've been doing it since day one.
Great guys.
Which is kind of amazing. Think about that. A sponsor for 11 years.
Yeah.
Over 11 years now. Yeah. And they've never dropped off. They've never...
They've been believers.
Well, I think because they're so big now that the accounting department just doesn't question the little purchases anymore.
We're a rounding error.
I think that's how we were with Northern Brewer for so long. And then about a year or so ago, they caught up to that accounting error. And they were like, oh, we're still with those assholes? Let's not do that anymore. Thanks to More Beer. Check them out. Fast shipping, everything you need, the coolest equipment you can find, and all the ingredients, you name it. Go check them out and thank them. I mean, I know a lot of you shop with them all the time, but don't forget to send a thank you note for supporting the BN every now and then, because that goes a long way to help us out. All right, today's program, we've got a couple of two tree homebrewers on the program.
We do.
We've got
Which I'm excited about.
Nice.
We've got Matt Sager and Vito
DeLucci.
He has the coolest
DeLucci,
name in homebrewing, right?
It's the best name.
Vito DeLucci. It's Vito literally DeLucci. The coolest name in homebrewing.
Matt's not a homebrewer.
Well, he is
Oh, he's
still.
A pro.
Actually, the doors are not open of his place yet.
Oh.
So
he doesn't get his pro card yet?
No. Not
well, he's homebrew if he brewed at home, right?
He's still homebrews.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
And
yeah.
He's both. Still homebrew. That's true.
He's both. For sure.
Yeah.
Come on, Warren. Have you been gone that long? You still don't understand?
What?
Home brewing and commercial brewing are different.
No, they're the same to me.
Sure. He has been gone a while.
I have been gone a while also.
He's gone like a year. So we got Matt Stager and Vito DeLucci coming on the program, and they're going to talk to us about turbid mashing for sour beers. They did an entire experiment to see if how turbid mashing works and if it's worth the effort, because
right.
there's a lot of, as you're going to find out today from their content, that it is a lot of effort. So I'm happy to be talking to them. A little bit of homebrew content here on the session. How about that, Tasty?
Great. I love it.
And I think that they have some for us to sample, too, right?
I don't know.
They did, yeah. It's not ready yet. It's not carbonated, but it's what the beer tastes like.
Okay. Yeah. It could be. Lambic can be not carbonated.
No, I'm used to lambics being
stout. Yeah. It's not my favorite kind. But,
no, but it'll still be interesting because, you know, we can actually taste what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's always good.
Agreed.
It's good for us.
It's good, great for us.
Yeah.
All right, couple of things coming up for you. We've got the Hop Grenade second anniversary. That's going to be Sunday, August 7th. That's coming up quick. And we got a pretty stellar beer lineup for you already. You can check out our website. I'll keep you up to date. We're going to put up a Facebook event here pretty quick, too, and then we'll put the beer list up. So, you know, it's similar to what we did last year, just a whole bunch of awesome beer and good people hanging out all day. We don't have, like, circus monkeys or anything like that. We don't do the whole...
You can bring one.
We don't mind.
They stay on the patio.
Circus... No, yeah, I guess it does. Monkeys are definitely allowed, though. No.
But it could be a service monkey, and it'd be fine.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Oh, yeah, if it performs...
Or if it's in a carrier.
If it services me, for example, any sort of service...
Service monkey.
It is allowed in.
Okay. But if it exists, and that's its service.
Sometimes that's a service to people.
No, that's an emotional service.
Emotional service.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
I mean, I've seen that happen. It's bullshit, but I've seen it happen. This is my emotional support monkey.
Can't you leave home for a little while without it?
No. Then you know what? Then stay home.
You should stay home. Yeah.
I mean, what can't you do at home anyway? JP, you're going to be the biggest advocate of this.
Yes.
What can't you do at home? You get your food delivered.
Yep.
You can now do every. You never have to leave your house. So if you need a support emotional monkey,
you shouldn't exist.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you just don't exist outside of the walls.
Well, you can't play Pokemon.
That's true. There's one thing you can't do anymore.
Right.
Imagine that. The latest game craze is the thing you can't do from the comfort of your own home.
Getting nerds outside of their house.
My house. Things
summer
have
2016.
Changed. So, anyhow, where was I?
Well.
Service monkeys.
You're talking about the...
At the Hop Grenade anniversary.
Hop Grenade anniversary. The beer will do the talking is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Shit. That's how you know you're drunk.
Shut up, beer.
I'm tired of listening to you. I'm hungry.
I will drink you.
All right. You can do your Amazon shopping through the Brewing Network. Just click the Amazon link on our homepage and shop as normal. It gives us a hand over here. And you can also subscribe and join the BN Army. That gets you into the More Beer monthly $100 gift certificate. Giveaway. We do a drawing every month and just become a recurring donor, and that's how you do it. Plus, you get our monthly newsletter, which is exciting.
That is exciting. I like newsletters.
You get staff and industry profiles in there.
Oh, shit.
You get our calendar of events.
Wow.
So people always say, you know, I'm putting things in the calendar. If you're a BN Army member, you get the calendar of events every month.
Yeah, you do. And you like it.
Yeah,
which is the best part.
You actually have to respond back that you like it, or we remove you from the list.
Right.
So
we add you to the bathtub refinishing mailing list.
Yeah, which is different.
Which is very different.
But just as exciting.
Some would say more.
So that's how you can help. Just become a recurring donor, and believe me, it goes a long way. Thanks to those of you who are already doing it. Get updates and more over on Twitter and
Facebook.
That one.
Yep.
I'm drinking Hella Light from
me too.
From Altamont Brewing Company.
Yeah.
It's a really good beer.
Yeah. It's gotten a lot better, too, over the years.
They did a great job.
Yeah. They're crushing it.
First of all, it's Hella Light.
It's Hella Light.
It's, what, 3.8%?
Something like that, yeah.
So, I like beer names that are accurate.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, especially ones that are descriptive. And accurate.
Yeah.
Like if you name it, like, you know, fucking Monsterosaurus Domination of Palooza. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Doesn't say much.
But if I order Hella Light and I'm not expecting a stout and I don't get a stout, I'm stoked.
Yeah. This might be the most descriptive, yeah, pinpointed name I've ever heard for a beer.
Yeah, yeah. Besides, like, Pilsner.
Well, there is that.
Okay, so yeah, there's that.
Style, yeah, names aside. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Well, you guys have a beer. Is it Amarillo on Rye? That's a rye IPA. That's also potentially accurate and descriptive.
I wouldn't have known, okay, that it's an IPA, though.
That's right.
Amarillo, no, but on rye. Amarillo and rye, those are probably two things that are in it.
Except the IPA. JP's right. We're talking right about extremely, mm-hmm, concise, all the information in one,
well,
thing.
How is Hella Light? Maybe it's a Hellas. Maybe it's a American Light Lager.
But it doesn't matter. That's because it's Hella Light.
It's Hella Light, bro.
Yeah, you're missing it, Warren. I'm sorry. You've been gone too long.
Again, I've been gone too,
I thought,
yeah,
your
long.
Other senses were supposed to be heightened.
Like when, your brain.
Like smarts.
You know what it is.
What
you
is it?
Haven't put on a flat-brimmed hat in some time.
Oh,
so
forever.
Yeah, exactly. So things like Hella Light, they go right past where the brim would normally be,
mm,
right over,
right,
your head.
There's nowhere for them to sit, right in front of my forehead.
There's nowhere for ideas to sit.
Yeah.
See, that's why bros are so smart. I don't know if you noticed that. Because ideas just land and sit,
it's
right,
a good,
there.
A storage area for ideas.
It comes up, it gets caught up in there.
In the frontal lobe.
And it can be absorbed faster.
Exactly.
For sure, yeah.
That's the nature of the flat brim.
Yeah, but
nothing
only...
Nothing gets by it.
But only if you're talking about, like, engines and mechanics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's it.
And
anything else
that's
will go
true.
Right.
And working out.
Well, yeah, dude. Steps, right, and newts, for sure. Like, yeah, that's, yeah, a no-brainer. That's, yeah, a no-bill. That's a no-biller.
So, no, see, biller.
See? Point. Let's walk right by the studio window. Bros. Okay.
As I bend the bill, right, of my hat.
Making sure it's nice and curved. Yeah.
Like corduroy rear. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm just going to make sure.
Right. This isn't flat, right?
This rare barrel.
Yeah. It's corduroy, bruh.
Oh. Wow, that is very hipster.
Thank you.
Rare barrel.
Have you met the rare barrel guys?
Corduroy hats. Corduroy. No. That's interesting. I'm going to make fun of that for a while.
Well, maybe they got them as a joke because they knew people would buy them.
They're like,
they're laughing at all these
the
people.
Idiot.
Oh, they, yeah, probably sold out instantly.
Oh, for, right, sure.
Yeah,
I like it. Okay. It was only $49. So it's a steal.
Wow, a steal at $49.
I think it was handmade by a hippie in Berkeley, so, oh, worth it.
Buy 17, get half of one free.
Yeah, right.
It's the latest deal. That's the rare barrel. All right, where was I? Do we have a Twitter game today?
We do have a Twitter game.
All right, Twitter game is brought to you today by our good friends over at White Labs. That's right, White Labs, liquid yeast that will change your life. Sometimes I just make up taglines for our sponsors.
You should.
Like on the fly. Because,
yeah,
when we do the segment sponsorships, there's not like a whole lot to say. It's like a quick thing. So sometimes I'll be like, White Labs, making sunshine in your carboy.
Right.
Like, it's just fun for me.
Hmm. Employing Mexicans since when? How have they been around? 2008?
Yeah.
Since 2008.
No, since
longer. 90s,
that,
right?
Yeah. Was,
know, like 99, 98? Yeah.
I forget. But
stealing Northern California's water. Contributing to the
no,
drought.
No,
right.
No,
drying out Southern California.
You're missing the thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Sponsor.
Okay.
So you go like, White Labs. The newest thing since dry yeast. Shit like that, you know?
Okay, here, let me try. White Labs. Making your... No, shit.
Stick with what you know.
Okay.
Go like Chris White's handsome, you know, things like that. Things that you know.
White Labs. Making Chris White handsomer.
There we go. And it does. Think about it. White. Now, Chris White.
Yeah.
He's not a bad-looking guy, right? But he would just kind of be the average guy.
Without the money and the prestige, what would
right.
he be? Four
but
out of ten?
He's got, yeah, now he's like handsome. Oh, sorry, you were going to give him a rate like
yeah.
four-ish.
Would it be four or what would it be?
I mean.
Out of ten.
He's a friend. I got to give him like a five.
No, take that out of it.
Five.
Five. All right.
Like if, five, like right? If you, like people like Chris
If
White.
You transferred, if your gender was fluid, would you go after him? Without knowing who he was, you saw him
no.
on the street. You're like, I need to.
I
have
would.
Him.
I would not. But look right. at me. I mean, I gotta go and you know, I'm up here.
You are. Up there.
You gotta. Right. You gotta date your.
Yeah, you don't want to date too far below your.
Right.
Your I'm range. Sorry. I'm gonna have to ask you to stop talking.
You gotta date your range.
All right.
So anyhow.
Yeah.
White Labs.
Right.
Making Chris White handsomer.
Right.
It works.
It works.
All right. Sorry, Chris. But thanks to White Labs. All right. What's our Twitter game?
Well, in case nobody knew it, the great Blobberglop is in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody in the chat room just asked if Blobber was the boy sitting in the studio.
We just brought a little boy to the studio.
It's a Pokemon, actually.
Take a little kid to work day.
Oddly enough, Blobber's like 78.
Yeah. He's a Benjamin Button.
He's been underground for most of his adult life. So that he hasn't had the rays of the sun aging him at all because he's a minor.
Yeah. Well, and it's frozen above ground.
I don't mean
where
a minor
lives.
Like underage, but like a minor.
Right.
And then
E, not O.
Yeah, that.
Yeah,
and also Canada. I mean, people in Canada just look younger. I think
they feel younger too.
Yeah.
Apparently, they can't speak though.
Nope.
This is the first. Now, Blobber's been on the show in some capacity for all of our 11 years in existence. This is the first time he's ever been in the studio.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is kind of exciting.
It's pretty amazing, right? Any studio,
Blobber.
Any
welcome, studio. Welcome to the studio. Yeah.
Hi.
Wow, your voice sounds good and not crackly and distorted.
Yeah, I'm not on Skype anymore. I'm here.
He's actually sitting here.
I don't think that he wants to be
it's
here.
It's really creepy.
He doesn't sound like he wants to be
here.
I'm actually here.
I'm happy to be here.
Okay, good. Great.
Well, here's the Twitter game. Since the great Blobber Glop is in town, we've decided to hire him. I don't know if you know this. Justin.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. All right.
Just executive decision. Mm-hmm. What daily tasks should he start taking over?
Oh, this is a great, great question. Because there's lots to be done around here.
There really is. That Blobber could do.
That Blobber can do. I think he's qualified. I think he's Canadian.
I can mow lawns.
He exists. He's a real person.
We already have a gardener. We don't have any lawns. So don't bother submitting that as your idea. All right, that's our Twitter game.
Yeah.
All right, how about a little feedback? Should we do that?
Let's do it.
Feedback's brought to you today by our friend John over at beerlawcenter.com. Go check it out at beerlawcenter.com. And he takes care of our trademark. He protects the hop grenade everywhere. He can protect yours, too. He can also file and register and do the research for you to see if you're being a douchebag or not and stealing somebody else's stuff. I mean, he really does it all. It's a one-stop shop. He can also do your TTB filing things for you, especially if you're in his home state of North Carolina. Go check him out for his full list of services at beerlawcenter.com. Okay, Ryan writes in. He says a couple of things. By the way, the whole feedback is about my rant. Again, Tasty.
Again?
But now on the flip side.
Which one?
So now the other people.
Agree with you.
That didn't think I was just being a douchebag have written in to counter last week's people who just railed me for speaking my mind. So Ryan writes in, ever since Monday, I'm going to read it as it's written, okay? So this is not me with the poor reading.
Are you sure?
I just want to.
Right. You sound a little tired, and so maybe it's a slip of the tongue.
No, I'm good. Right. I'm rested, even.
You look rested.
Here we go. Ever since Monday, I have noticed all the Sunday session players step up their professionalism. So professional. You guys are going to win so big, because I know I'm a businessman. It's an interesting sentence.
Is this spam?
Is it spam? Yeah. It sounds like spam.
Yeah.
Right? I actually thought that too when I first read it.
Just give me your social security numbers.
Right.
You win big time.
Yeah. Number two, I'm a Zep fanatic as well. Ever since I was taking bong loads with my friends, drinking whatever horrible malt liquor, natty ice we could get our hands on. But I like the fact it was not brought up. That sounds like a great opener to the second interview with Logan. Maybe when JC is present. Of course, we're talking about the Logan Plant interview.
The debacle.
Where I was upset that my instructions weren't followed, that he got mentioned, at least was mentioned, that his dad was Robert Plant.
That's true.
Just because I didn't want our listeners to feel like we were trying to dupe them. But anyhow, he goes on to say, blah, 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 et cetera. Bevo, keep up the good professionalism in your producing. More slow clap. Glad I ordered the last one Friday when it was almost tapped. That's a tasty, balanced brew. Good job. When Heretic's Hop Grenade Pale Ale coming out? And number four, let me hitch a ride to South Africa with you for some $2 brews. See some elephant balls and pet a zebra. And see where Chappie was filmed or not. Still contributing to the BN, et cetera, et cetera. Keep up the professionalism.
Yes, very professional.
From Ryan.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one from Cameron. Justin and crew, I don't normally enjoy admitting I was wrong. However, after the last episode, I need to retract the statements I made on the feedback that you read out about Justin's unprofessionalism. The way Justin handled the feedback from listeners, including myself, about his rant was extremely professional and well done. Oh, God.
The reach around
here. Yeah. It would have been easy to just ignore the negative feedback. That's true. But to acknowledge and answer it offered a better perspective, and I now understand why it was said what was said on the air. Please don't change. However, if we could slightly shorten the rants in the future, that would be great and a lot less uncomfortable. All right, that's duly noted.
Sounds like I didn't miss anything while I was gone.
No, you
didn't. No, you haven't.
Let's see. Then he said his feedback sounded negative. He didn't want it to sound that negative. Now he says he's been too complimentary, so suck a dick, and I hope you stub your toe on the table and your next beer is infected. Keep up the good work from Cameron.
Cameron!
Right. This one's from Tom about Cape Town, Dear Brewing Network. I enjoyed your interview with Mark Forey from Riot Beer. I was in South Africa on a business trip a couple years ago and certainly noticed the craft beer scene's growing. I'm now disappointed I didn't run across any Riot beers. Some of the beers were good, some not so much, I guess, in the whole town. but he says, you were spot on the currency conversion. We had a meal with seven people at one of the top restaurants in Cape Town that cost just about the same as my wife and I going on a date night in St. Louis. So he says, compared to the Bay Area, you'll feel like millionaires.
Wow.
I like feeling like a millionaire. All right. Luke writes in about Justin's complaining. Hello, Brewcasters. Justin's rant 2 weeks ago was fine, and a lot of your listeners enjoy the show because we feel a small personal connection to you guys, and I don't mind hearing updates about the well-being of you and the show. People who disagree can suck a dick. In fact, if you and every show, if you end every show with a BN status update and stop making the same exact jokes about Chechnya every week, the show would be much improved. Seriously, it's been 3 weeks. The joke is played out. Thanks for the content. Luke.
In Chechnya, joke tells you when played out.
In Chechnya, we don't have new joke. Nothing's funny. Life is dismal.
Old joke. Mm-hmm. An old joke is life. You are born with singular joke in Chechnya.
So I have a thing about the humor on this show. So I take all the feedback, right?
Yeah.
I read all the feedback. I take all the feedback. I'm good with it all, you know.
Yeah.
In the whole history of doing this company and probably my life, I don't take feedback on humor. I fucking decide when the joke is over.
Right.
Or you decide or whatever.
Right.
But seriously, even if I'm wrong, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying the only feedback I don't listen to or take to heart is about what's funny and not funny.
One singular person decides is funny.
I don't care how many people decide. What well, I'm right, saying is true. I will decide when it's not funny anymore, and that's when it will stop.
Right.
This Chechnya thing will go on in perpetuity if I still find it funny.
Got
is
legs.
My point.
For days.
I'm just pointing out, I'm just revealing to the listeners how the show works.
Right.
I'll take all sorts of feedback, the website, like you name it, right? The funny part, though, you might as well not write it in. Because
save the calories.
Because I'm telling you right now, I'm funnier than you are.
Right.
I'm always funnier than you are. There are things I know.
Mm-hmm.
Not right at this moment, for example.
No. You're being very serious right now.
Right.
But on the whole.
Right. In general.
Yeah.
And entertaining.
Right. Yeah. Right. And if I still have tears in my eyes when we're doing Chechnya jokes, guess what?
Funny.
Fucking Chechnya for life.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
For president. Even.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Luke. Fucking dick. <dead. laughs> All right, Matt writes in, shit, you guys rule. Relatively new brewer here, so I don't know how much my comments matter, but I figured, what the hell. I've enjoyed you guys the last few years. I also enjoy Justin's spunk.
Ew.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Gross.
Huh.
Thanks, Matt.
How'd he get it?
And JP's Ew. No bullshit attitude, along with Tasty's old man knowledge. And
do you have to fix the carburetor?
Or? Yeah, yeah.
Your hair is how to get your hair.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a backhanded compliment.
Sage maybe
he
wisdom.
Means your knowledge about ladies.
Right.
Well, old man.
The master
well,
of the low hug.
It's tried and true.
Oh, it is true. I've gone through several iterations on these. What, yeah.
These young women.
I've been around
iterations of women?
I've gone through young women twice. Yes.
Sorry, I don't think I helped you there. I really was trying to, though.
I span generations, son.
Transcend.
He also enjoys Bevo's sexiness. And then he says, you guys have helped out with some questions I've had and given me breweries to check out when I visit San Diego. So love you. Thanks for Matt.
In his dream.
Here's another one about Logan, the Logan Plant interview, okay, and my rant, of course. Hi, Brewcasters. I just want to respectfully, he said.
Oh, I like this.
It's always a good start. Respectfully add my 2 cents worth on this issue. JP was right not to bring up Logan's father in the interview. To bring it up would have made you look like suck-ups and fanboys. I'm sure most, if not all of your listeners know who Logan Plant is, if they've been paying attention to the beer world. It was a great interview, and rightly, it was about Logan's own story. Him, his beer, and his brewery. Who his father is doesn't matter in this context. From memory, I think he covered his reason for giving up music to brew anyway, something about making no money, and the only thing that was a bit uncomfortable, the only thing that was uncomfortable was when Justin chucked a tantrum and ripped the crew a new one about it on the air. You did an awesome job on the interview and showed Logan maximum respect in how you handled it. That's to JP, of course. A really professional step might be to update the show intros. Plissé hasn't been a special guest since 1942, and it took forever for Lance Armstrong to disappear. Just saying, Paul. All right, point noted about the production. I still disagree with you on the Logan Plant interview. It would not have looked... JP and I had a long discussion about how it could have been, would have been handled that would have not done any of the things that you mentioned, and instead just made sure that our listeners knew exactly who we were talking to. And if you're going to tell me that a guest of mine's father being Robert Plant is not relevant to my listenership, you're a fucking idiot. You should leave. You should not listen to my show anymore. Mm. I mean, that's stupid. However, JP explained to me exactly what happened and how the interview went, and I'm completely fine with how it was not brought up. I stand by what I said because of what JP and I had discussed and how it could be brought up, and respecting Logan and respecting our listeners and the whole thing, but it just didn't work out. And sometimes interviews just go a different way. And you, in fact, it sounded like for him to like sort of try to wedge in the way I wanted it handled just would have made it even worse. And I don't want that. And anybody, if JP's going to sit in this host chair, then it's his goddamn chair. And I'm totally fine with that. But of course, if we were going to bring it up, Paul,
from Duluth,
we would not have disrespected. I think this is what made me so, like, at the moment anyway, why I was so annoyed about it, is because we are so good at what we do that we would not have made it uncomfortable. We would have been the one interview he's done that mentioned it, you know, just laid it at a little softball in a field and then let it go on and be all about his brewery and everything else. Had the moment come up that it would have worked, because that's how good we are, and I think that's part of what got me going. Is I'm like, we're better than this, and so I disagree with your. I love that you said you giving Jay props for how well the interview went, and I'm quite sure it did. I just disagree with how it would have gone the other way too.
You didn't listen to it.
Every word.
I feel like there's a way you could have known exactly how the interview went, Justin. Right.
Yeah. I want to know, by the way, who ratted me out.
The whole studio, everybody.
Everybody ratted me out?
And I don't even remember.
Singularly, everyone was like, we didn't hear that, Justin.
Pretty much. Wow. It was almost a unified voice.
Fucking asshole.
And I don't even remember how it came up. I think what happened was when I got some little glimpse of how it didn't happen, and my face went like, wait, what?
Yeah,
and then everyone was like, oh. And they just kept feeding the monster.
Like buzzard. Fuckers. Oh, JP, it's JP's turn to get roasted.
Yeah.
Let's fly around and
but
wait
you,
to pick
if,
his corpse.
If you listen to it, you will notice that I asked like 5 times because I was like, there's no way JP didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
That we talked about, like, I was defending you for a while. Like,
right.
I was like,
I appreciate
nuh-uh.
That.
I was like, are you, like, sometimes you guys just sit there and sleep. Are you sure you just weren't listening during that part? But no, everyone was like, they stonewalled you, man.
I should go back and listen to that show, but who has time?
Exactly.
I got Overwatch. But.
Exactly right. All right. Another one about South Africa. Thanks for doing the show. Come on out and see us. I'll give you a tour of breweries and shit. Thanks for writing in. That's from Branding. Oh, here's a question, Tasty. Wake up. Hey, guys. Guys, I'm Bevo.
Oh.
I need help making a decision. Do I build a kegerator?
No.
Or do I get the smart brew kit with the pH meter?
The iDip. The old iDip.
The iDip.
Yeah.
I don't hate bottling, but I don't exactly love it either. I'm not sure what would be better, kegs or a pH meter and the knowledge of what is in my water. That's Johnny from West Virginia. P.S., it's hard to see the drop-down menus on the website. Yeah, you're right about that, actually, Johnny. I'm going to work on it. Okay, so, okay, pH meter, iDip, or the kegerator?
If he has a water problem, then he needs to go after it. If he doesn't have a water problem, get a kegerator.
Okay.
Now, if say you do have a water problem, well, you can look at your water report from your municipality, right?
Yeah.
Usually you can get that. Or you can send a sample off to a lab, or you can buy, you know, a device. To me, the device is just if you're going to be testing your water a lot.
Yeah.
If you just want to know what it is, it's a benchmark, and then kind of just use the results to dictate whether you need to do anything different, then no. Just,
okay.
Most of the time, if your water's a problem, you'll know it, and you'll just take some action and be done with it.
Okay.
You don't need to test it that much.
That's good advice. Otherwise, kegerator.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. It, I mean, it also depends on how geeky you want to get. I mean, for a lot of people like me, water chemistry is such next level. The iDip will help you kind of bridge that gap,
there, but,
yeah. but it still takes a lot, and you can, I think, fuck up your beer even more if you start doing your water chemistry and don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, if it's not broke and try to fix it, that could be a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More good advice. This time from JP, from Jason Petros.
Would Blobber like to weigh in on the water profile?
I'm just thinking what's going to be more pleasant to wash one keg instead of 60 bottles, or look at your water chemistry and not know what to do with it. just use RO and build your water and enjoy not bottling. That's my advice.
Well, it's spoken like a true Canadian or something.
You know what? Whenever I watch Blobber speak, and this might be weird because he's sitting right next to me, but, you know, Bob and Doug McKenzie from Strange Brew.
Yeah.
You know, whenever Doug, I guess, a smaller one, would talk and he kind of like squints his eyes when he talks and opens them and during the same sentence. That's Blobber.
That's. I could see that.
Yeah.
He's my cousin.
Exactly. They're all cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And finally, Eric in Fairbanks, Alaska writes in, gentlemen and Bevo. I guess he tried to write in last week, but he said, this Saturday I won second place for my amber and a third place for my Belgian pale ale in the E.T. Barnett homebrew comp in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Nice. Yeah.
Both beers were registered under the Brewing Network Club. Thank you for all of information. I could have never improved so much without the BN. I shall go donate now. Thanks again. Well, thank you, Eric, and congratulations, and thank you for donating. If you go do that now, that would be nice of you, and it will help a lot. All right. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Matt Sager and Vito DeLucci, and we're going to be talking
about Chechnya.
The whole time. Turbid mashing, ladies and gentlemen. Turbid mashing. Hang in there. We're going to find out how they did it in the olden days. It's a saying I hate, by the way, but sometimes I don't know whether one to use. We're going to find out how they did it in the olden days and how their experiment worked and hopefully taste the beer. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. The Vault, created by White Labs. The Vault is a collection of new, creative, and unique yeast strains from around the world. These strains have never been available to homebrewers. Most have not even been available to professionals. You have the power to release the yeast. Through the Vault, White Labs is giving you the power to decide which strains are put into production and giving you the opportunity to brew with these strains. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault and pre-order the yeast strain of your choice and encourage your friends to do the same. Once 250 pre-orders have been achieved, White Labs will put that strain into production. The strain will be mailed directly to your doorstep, ready to make the beer you've always wanted to brew. This program was created with the homebrewer in mind. White Labs is relying on you to help release these strains, which may blaze the way for future new and unique beers. Help release the yeast. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch
out! Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer. Bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff. Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brendan Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
Are back.
888-401-BEER.
Whatever. Welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for tuning in today and joining us here on the Brewing Network. We got a great show planned for you. We got Matt Sager and Vito DeLucci in the studio. We're going to talk about some homebrew. Before I do that, I wanted to remind you about the good folks over at Great Fermentations. You can go to greatfermentations.com right now. They got the largest catalog of Blickman products on the web. Provide same day shipping for some of the main items, and you know a lot of other vendors will take up to 3 weeks. And their staff's some of the best trained using Blickman products. So top notch customer service over at greatfermentations.com. Like them on Facebook, GR8 Fermentation. You'll get more deals like this in the future. And GR8 Fermentation over on Instagram and Twitter. All right. Thanks for being a supporter of the program, guys. So, Matt Sager.
Yes.
How are you, buddy?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Last time you were in here, I don't think I was in here.
No.
I think you've been in my studio without me.
I did a Dr. Homebrew episode probably, yeah, it was in January.
Okay.
Yeah.
That long?
Yeah.
Seems like yesterday.
It does. I thought it was like maybe 3 months ago.
No.
Yeah, but what do I know?
So Matt's been around the block a little bit down here.
Old news.
What?
Well, so
he gets around.
Matt's a longtime and avid home brewer, has been, still is, but then also was a brewer over at Rocksteady in Martinez.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was there a brewery before that too?
Yeah. Prior to that, we were living in Reno, my wife and I, and I worked for Great Basin Brewing Company in Sparks.
Nice.
Yeah.
You look like a Reno guy.
Shut up.
A Sparks guy.
Oh, all right.
What does that mean exactly?
It can't be good.
Sparks to Reno, a Pacheco is to Martinez?
Yes.
Is that?
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's accurate.
As a desert, as a recovering desert person myself.
He's still a desert rat.
I can see a Reno person from a mile away. All right.
I was only there for 3 years.
Doesn't matter. It gets on you like tar. You know, it's hard to get.
Or like fine dust.
And then now you have a new brewery project that you're working on too.
Correct. Yeah, I'll be the head brewer for Danville Brewing Company, and we're slated to be open about a month from now. So all the tanks are in place, and the restaurant, where there's going to be a restaurant involved there, too. So
wow. Oh, the difference between Reno and Danville. Your parents are finally proud. They're like, Danville? Oh, this one's good, Matt.
Yeah. Now we can come visit you.
Maybe this beer thing is going to work out for you, Matt. Do I sound like your mother?
A little bit too much.
Hopeful? Is he too hopeful or not hopeful enough?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Danville is a super nice town, but it also in need of a brewery.
It is. Yeah, there's nothing else like that there.
Cougars got a room somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some serious cougars there. So the brewery's called Cougar
Mountain Brewing. That's what it should have been called.
That's right.
Cougar Mountain Brewing.
Climb to the top of Cougar Mountain Brewing.
Oh, my God. That's what you and I would have opened.
Man, we missed it on that one.
Yeah, you did. Danville Brewing Company?
Correct.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So we hope to be open by the end of August.
Okay.
Yep. We'll have beer and tanks by then.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yep.
And then we've also got Vito DeLucci, best known for his amazing name. he has the best name in homebrewing, if you ask me.
My name precedes me.
Your folks liked you a lot or something. They're like, watch this.
Need something with some rhythm.
What are we gonna, they're like, watch this. Watch how this goes. Vito DeLucci. Done. Exactly. We're
rolls
done.
Off tongue.
Drop the mic. Yeah.
His real name is Kerry, but
hey, best friend's Kerry.
He goes by his middle name.
Yeah.
He will take your kneecaps out.
I will. I know people.
Vito, of course, a member of the Diablo Order of Zymiracle Enthusiasts.
Cougar Mountain.
I think it's pronounced Doze.
Doze.
Doze guys.
The Doze Club here locally, and then helped out on this project with Matt.
Yeah, definitely. Worked out with Matt. We've brewed over at Rocksteady, and then also brewed at Tahoe Mountain, and then recently Bartlett Hall with Wynn.
You did?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Bartlett Hall. So I haven't been to that place yet. Of course, I know Wynn, and I've had his beer. How's it doing over there?
Beers there are great.
Yeah?
Yeah. I remember going there going like, well, I have to fix him here. Like, we need to, this one isn't right. We're going to do this or that. They were all freaking good. Like,
he's killing it from day one.
Yeah, I couldn't offer anything. I was like, ask him how he did it kind of stuff.
So you haven't been back since because there's nothing for you to do.
I have gone back, and they're just as good or better, if not better.
Wow.
He's like the Banksy of brewing.
Okay. It's the Banksy. I love that. So you guys have been doing, you're saying collaboration brews around is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's my resume.
Okay, I love it. What's your day gig? What do you do? You have a job? You don't have a job, do you?
I don't have a job. I just kind of, no, I'm a...
He's on parole.
He's an enforcer. Yeah.
He's a parole.
Well, like, I'm a longshoreman, of course.
Yeah.
I import olive oil.
You see these hands? They're working.
I'm
the president of print and mail operation. Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So you launder money.
I launder money.
Okay.
I'm the front.
Yeah.
All right. Just checking. All right, so today we're talking to you guys because you did a turbid mashing experiment. And, of course, we should start from square one. The type of beer, first we're gonna learn what turbid mashing is, but even the point of a turbid mash, it's for lambic, right?
Correct, yeah.
So what is it? Just let's really dumb it down just because. What is a lambic, quickly?
A lambic is, well, you can't call a lambic unless it's brewed within 15 kilometers of Brussels.
Got it.
It's a controlled appellation just like Champagne and Kolsch has to be brewed in Cologne, Germany. The reason for that is it's brewed in what's called the Seine Valley, and there's a very you can't get that kind of mixture of wild yeast and bacteria anywhere else in the world.
Ah.
So you're not going to be able to reproduce that alambic outside of Brussels.
I love this.
Yeah.
And this is also why we have some of our more respectful brewers that come in here and they just say they're brewing lambic style of
Correct.
Beer
yeah.
rather than calling their beers lambics because
mm-hmm.
they know they can't even call them lambics.
Right, right.
Okay. All right. So that's the basic lambic. And it's a sour beer,
yep.
right? It's a wild mm-hmm. fermentation.
Wild fermentation.
Okay. So then what is a turbid mash?
Okay. So do you want to kind of get into...
how the whole thing came together.
Yeah.
So this initially, Matt and I have brewed before. We've done a lot. I've done some sours. I just got a new More Beer Tippy 4 system. Plug
oh,
for that.
Nice.
So wanted to get some brewers together. Like I said, I did the tippy.
Tippy. Yeah.
So tippy means it's mine, like at all. Because I thought they even did the flat tippy, but they don't.
Version
do that.
4 is what the cool thing, the digital touchscreen.
Oh,
that's
where
I want to plug on that one.
Oh, nice.
So, neat. So that was like, hey, let's get some of the people that I've been brewing with over the years together.
Hang on a second. Does that really work, this whole touchscreen thing? Because Chris Graham's been showing me this for like a year now, and I was worried.
Yeah. No, it's awesome, yeah.
So really?
That was one of the reasons to get everybody together.
Yeah.
So that was, hey, I just got this new system, been brewing with some of these guys. Adam Thomas from Tahoe Mountain. I did a pro-am with him. So it was like, hey, come on down, brew with us. Hit up Nate Smith.
Yeah.
Hey, come on over and brew. Matt. We've brewed, and then David Wonder as well from More Beer. So
okay.
It's like, hey, let's get our little crew together.
Vito and I had just come back from Brussels as well. Not
okay.
together, but we had just...
Definitely noteworthy. That's kind of what inspired this lambic, and we're both into sour beer. So it's like, hey, let's do a turbid mash.
Yeah.
Matt and I, the first thing was, we started talking. It was like, all right, talk to Adam, talk to Nate, talk to David. Got everybody together. Hey, let's do this turbid mash. And then, what was neat about it is like everybody's like, oh, yeah, we're going to do sour beer. Of course you're going to do a turbid mash, right? Of course. And then when we all get together, it's like, has anybody done a turbid masher?
No.
Crickets.
Here we go.
No. So that was kind of neat. So that was what got us all together. And then also that's worth noting is I wanted everybody to bring something. So like Adam brought his the bugs from Tahoe Mountain. Nate brought the his hops. He had some old hops that were from like 2008. Matt worked on the recipe. I provided the venue, and then David, obviously the sculpture, the More Beer tie in there.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, that was kind of the whole brain trust that got it all together. So
who handsomed? Did someone handsome?
Nate.
Nate handsomed. Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Was it actually Nate, or was it some guy calling himself Nate Smith?
I don't know.
There's been a guy.
Right.
Doing that.
There's another
Nate Smith.
Oh, no.
That's a thing. No.
In Baltimore, he was there.
Wow. Really?
Calling himself Nate Smith.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
All right.
So you got the whole crew there,
and
the idea is to attempt this old school.
Old school, and the reason it's old school, traditionally there was a tax levied on brewers in Brussels that started around 1822 that taxed brewers based on the size of their mash tun.
Okay.
So they had to fit as much grain into a mash tun and get the most out of it possible.
I'm pretty
based
sure
on that size.
All brewing ingenuity back in the day was done based on taxation.
Right.
How to avoid
Absolutely.
It.
Right.
And how to avoid it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So they wanted to get more
out of less.
More fermentable sugar.
Right, out of a smaller
out of
size
less
mash.
Space.
Right.
Okay.
So and the short and long of it is the fact that they were you mash in super thick, you pull wort out, you replace it with boiling water. You pull wort out, you replace it with boiling water. So
I thought that was
decoction.
I thought that's decoction mashing, but
decoction,
it's close.
It's close. You're pulling with decoction. You're pulling grain out.
Okay. This not year, wort. Okay.
Not wort. Right.
Got it. All right.
And it's also a there's also a very high level of unmalted wheat in the recipe. So by adding boiling water over the top, you're raising the different temperature programs that you need to gelatinize the wheat.
Okay.
And so yeah, you go from there. You're pulling wort out, and you're replacing it with hot water to bring it up to a certain temperature.
So hang on just quickly. So what does the mash look like, grain-wise?
Like an adobe brick.
No, but I mean, the makeup of the grain. Yeah, okay. What's the grain bill?
So the grain bill that we used, and it's fairly common throughout, we use 63% Belgian Pilsner malt and about 37% unmalted hard winter wheat.
Okay.
Which you can't get at the homebrew store. I had to go to Whole Foods.
Oh,
and
really?
Went to the dry goods section, and the guy was stocking the shelves, and I said, "I need everything you have in that, and then I need you to bring more."
Wow! So help me understand the difference. What is this hardened unmalted wheat, and why wouldn't just another wheat work?
The reason we use the hard red winter wheat is that's what they had at Whole Foods.
Except that malted wheat would have starch is readily able to be converted to
correct.
It's highly
to sugars.
So you wanted
unmalted is impossible, right? It's just starch.
Right. And the whole idea behind this is you want to extract not only fermentable sugars, but a large proportion of unmalted or unfermentable starch. long chain
dextrins. Okay,
right. That's what the wild yeast and bacteria love to feast on are those long chain dextrins.
That different than flaked wheat, like you can get at homebrew shops?
Yeah, it's gelatinous. Raw wheat.
Oh, so even flaked wheat is malted wheat?
Yes,
it's gelatinized.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the hard and I'll tell you, it taxed my mill putting that stuff through. the
bang bang
drill was smoking.
Oh, wow, interesting. Yeah, what? What the fuck else are people buying that for at Whole Foods?
It's good for your colon. I let it soak in kale juice, and then I shove it up my ass.
That's what I'm saying.
If you were going to make your own flour, that's what you'd get, right?
Yeah. You'd grind that.
Okay.
If you're going to make your own flour, you have too much time on your fucking hands.
You do.
How can you afford to buy food at Whole Foods?
You have a do-it-yourself that'll do all that. Kind of
what, do you have a mortar and pestle, too? I'm making flour because I have to bake a pizza on Wednesday.
Of next year. Yeah, I have my own flour mill. It's called King Arthur Flour. You can find it at the Safeway aisle. It's amazing. Yeah.
I have the same one. That's weird.
It's the cheapest thing on earth, flour.
Really, literally.
Like, no, but listen, you should make it yourself. It's to die for.
It's
taste this flour like that.
Fresh flour. Oh, man.
Okay, so you go and you buy. Now, some poor idiot hippie isn't going to get his, what is it, red-corned
free range.
Oh, yeah. I did tell the guy, he was wondering why I was buying all this raw wheat, and I told him I was brewing beer with it, and he said, well, make sure you bring back some beer for me. So,
and you were like, give me a discount, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, right.
What did you get? Did he have like 50-pound sacks of it back there?
Well, yeah, I didn't need that much. Yeah. I in total, I needed about 15 pounds, so
okay, yeah,
which is still a lot. Yeah. We put some rice hulls in there. We put about a pound of rice hulls. And something I'll go into a little bit later, we used whole leaf hops, aged hops, like Vito was talking about.
Yeah, Nate brought the aged hops.
Okay.
Eight-year-old hops.
Of course Nate did.
That were stored in a grocery bag in an attic for 8 years.
Oh, like on purpose. That's how they would have been stored in Belgium.
That's what you want to do to inhibit the oxidation of the hops.
I see.
Without adding any bitterness.
Exactly. Right. You want it. This beer needs to be under 5 IBU. Anything above 8 IBU will actually kill the lactobacillus. So
interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that IBUs would kill.
It's an antibacterial, right? That's why we use it in our underarms.
Of course. Yeah. It's on mine on now. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that, though.
We also used bacteria from various sources, too. For each carboy that we filled, we would put a different...
Yeah, so initially we did a 10-gallon batch on this the party day where we're all hanging out, and we used Tahoe Mountains house blend, and then the other one was dregs from a myriad of sour beers we drank that day. Cantillon, Dre Fontaine, Cascade, several others.
Yeah. Wow. So there was a lot of different.
Yeah.
Speaking of that party day, that was probably the most badass brew day ever.
Ever?
I mean, the brain power, the collective brewing brain power in that room. It was Vito Bruin, with Nate Bruin, with Adam Bruin, with David Wonder.
Yeah.
And I make it a rule not to pop a beer before at least the Whirlpool.
Okay.
Because I don't want to screw stuff up. Well, when you're doing this, we have all these dregs that we have to pitch into this beer. We have to get through it. You have to pop these bottles, and it became a big sour bottle share.
Nice.
Talking, dropping some major knowledge bombs. And
yeah. What we were talking about, yeah, just at each point, like, why are we doing this? You know, and that was many times there was question marks. We were all looking at each other and hitting the books and kind of, oh, this is what, you know. So it was just a great, yeah, day for brain trust. And
right. you're just to be clear, you're asking why are we doing this also because it's a difficult way to do things. Because you could just do a step mash with already malted and modified grains, right?
Right.
Yeah. You could.
So
okay.
Mash high. I've gotten many ribbons for sours doing exactly that.
Okay.
So it's not, yeah. So it's something new. It's like, yeah, why that? What's all this work for? You
and know? I love this question, too, because it's a question that we did discuss with decoction mashing we have over the years. Mm-hmm. Doc and I did a beer like that, but I think it came up more often with Dan Gordon when he's on the program, who always said, oh, you know, he, there's just no question in his mind. But then there's been a lot of experiments where people were like, oh, I can't really tell the difference anyway. So I like this type of experiment where you're like, all right, we're going to do it, but why? And does it end up being worth it, which I guess we'll talk about at the end.
Yeah, that was the question we had to ask ourselves after the party day. We have to do this again.
Was the hangover?
Right, yeah. First of all, let's do it again.
Yeah, we have to do this again, and we have to science the shit out of this and do a step mash right next to a turbid mash. And determine.
So with malted wheat on one side.
Oh no,
both.
Yeah. Both, yeah.
So with the control. So if the question to be answered is the turbid mash better than the non-turbid mash for sour beers? You wouldn't answer that unless you did a non-turbid mash.
Right.
Which is fine. It's not the question you're going after.
And that's exactly what we did. We did a non-turbid and a turbid that same day.
Oh, you did double.
We did both.
You did go after that.
We made the science. Oh,
yeah, okay, stop trying to rain on their parade.
Oh, I didn't
taste it. But you didn't do it as good as I would.
I thought
that's
they were
clear. And I just want to make that clear to everybody.
No, you are asking the right question. Right. It did have to be done this way, and you did it that way.
Correct.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the methods that you did, the two different ways you did it, how it's done. So if our listeners are dumb, want to do this themselves, they can do it as well. And then we'll talk about the results. Hang in there. It's the session, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy. Do you know the three most important rules in brewing?
sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, SantaClean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the five-star solution. Visit fivestarchemicals.com or call 800-782-7019, 800-782-7019, and get the five-star treatment today.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contracts, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. Do you like to mash using efficient fly sparging, but would like an easy way to heat your strike and sparge water? Enter the new Brewer's Edge electric mash water heater, a plug-in, anywhere, precisely controlled heater for strike and sparge water. Ditch the fumes and second burner and make mashing easy. Go to williamsbrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's williamsbrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Tuned into this session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us. I wanted to remind you that the American Homebrewers Association has amazing member benefits. Like, you can get all your money back in a week if you go out and drink enough.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Probably in your own neighborhood. Depends on where you live in the country, but they right. do have Blubber over cans. 1,400 participating breweries, pubs, beer bars, and homebrew supply shops. And what it is if you show your AHA card or you bring the AHA app, you get discounts on all of those things, like right here at the Hop Grenade, you get a discount. And I know that More Beer gives a discount, for example. So AHA members get discounts at like 1,400 different places. You can go to homebrewersassociation.org, and there's a handy deal finder right there. And a map that shows you everything around you or wherever you're going. You just punch it in. It's a pretty sweet benefit. So why don't you check it out over at homebrewersassociation.org or just click the AHA link on our homepage and become a member that way. And then we get a little piece of the action and everybody's happy. All right. We're here with Vito DeLucci and Matt Sager. We're talking about turbid mashing. I have one of the beers in my glass. Mm-hmm. What beer is this?
So this is from the first session we did, okay. which was January 30th this year, 2016.
Okay.
The party day yeah. that started.
That we were just discussing.
That we were
that
just discussing.
Birthed this whole
that
thing.
Birthed the, hey, let's make the science, yeah.
Okay. So the beer, here's a weird thing about this beer. And let me finish, because you're going to think I'm saying one thing, but I'm saying something different. It smells and it tastes like Cantillon, not the beer, the brewery. Mm. It smells like the brewery. I have you know the memory smells where you get when you like you're brought like right back to a place.
Yeah.
Instantly, when I put my nose to that glass, I felt like I was standing in the tasting room.
That's funny because the Giddy Tea for all my East Coasters or the Wife Beater for all my West Coasters that we used in the brewery is what we kind of threw in the mash there. So
really,
yeah, no, I'm just kidding. No.
It, you're like, what? I'm like, what? It smells. Wow. It smells like the brewery because it has this like obviously sour funk smell, but also old wood. Yeah. Like I remember that. And then I was like, well, that's cool. And then I tasted it. It tastes like the brewery, which is a descriptor I have never given in my life. I've never said that a beer tastes. I've said it tastes like that beer before.
Right.
It doesn't taste like that beer, although it's really good. It doesn't taste like Cantillon, but somehow it tastes like the brewery. What a weird concept.
We don't expect it to taste like Cantillon either.
I'm sure you didn't. I mean, it's not wonderful right. either. I just meant I've never described a flavor as a place before.
Also noteworthy, I mean, there's no carbonation. This is just an unblended lambic we pulled off yesterday.
Got it.
You know, when there's carbonation in there and we do some blending with some of the other batches, I would hope that.
Well, it's
still
got
some
dextrose.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
A little bit. You're tasting just a little.
It's got some sweetness left.
Yeah. And you get even a little slickness on your tongue, I think, because of that.
It's the body.
Also, though, it tastes just as good as any unblended lambic I've had. I mean, unblended lambic generally, you know, it just is what it is. It can be a little. It can either be boring. It can also be offensive. Yeah. This one is neither. It's right in there. So it's something to blend later on. I don't know. I guess you're already it's on a good track.
That's the plan, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's not sour. It's hardly tart, but the taste is really good.
Yeah.
It's like it's on its way to something good.
So was this one done with the turbid mash?
This was the turbid mash, yeah. Okay. The initial party day. We just did one batch that day, 10 gallons. Five of it got the – and this is the Tahoe Mountain house blend. So as far as the yeast – it's Tahoe Mountain's house blend. I know
so
there's.
They stole it from Cantillon.
Yeah, Lactobacillus, Britannomyces, there's a Saccharomyces, and there's probably a Pediococcus as well.
Okay. So talk to me about the process of this mash then.
Yeah, so to start out, the first step is to mash in super duper thick. I'm talking 0.3 quarts of liquor per pound of grain.
Wow. Huh. That's amazing.
Yeah. Normally it's like 1.1. Something, right? Is the more beer kind of thing.
1.4, yeah. Yeah. 1.4.
So it's just one big dough ball.
One and a quarter. Oh, yeah. You could build adobes with this. Right. Yeah.
See, and I've always kind of called bullshit on the, like, with my one-to-one, like, oh, make sure you stir it really good because dough balls. Like, I've never seen a dough ball in my life.
Oh, I totally have.
At one-to-one.
Yeah. We made dough balls.
But when do you add the water to that? Like, do you add, like, a pound of that grain, add a little bit of water in order to actually get water in the entire thing?
Yeah, versus... What we did for the initial mash in, we went ahead and put the needed water that we needed for that initial mash, and then slowly poured the grain in. And it was boiling. It was boiling water. We wanted to get a rest of about 113. And that's your beta-glucan rest. And to do that with that much grain and that little water, it had to be hot, hot, hot.
I see.
Yeah.
How did you factor in like the dead space on your mash tun? Or your
We covered the false bottom.
So ahead of time, okay. I went through and you know kind of calculated the false bottom because it was a new system. Making sure we accounted for that. So we were good on that end.
So the point three was above the screen.
Yeah, because of all the unmalted wheat, it's necessary to do that beta glucan rest because it'll be too gummy. You'll get a stuck mash, and when you're mashing in this thick, that's the last thing you want.
Okay.
And that'll break apart the little pockets, the little gummy pockets that surround the starch molecules.
Okay.
Or starch pockets. And that's what beta-glucan is. And the 113, 114 to 121, I think, will break up those. That's the beta-glucan rest. That's what activates the beta-glucans, those enzymes that eat that up.
Okay.
So then after that, we didn't draw any wort off that because there was very little to get from that.
And
oh, really?
Matt's eyes looking at him when we were doing that, like, what the hell are we doing? what is this we're making?
I couldn't stir it.
Like 8 in the morning.
What's going on here? Then we slowly added boiling water to bring it up to 126. And here's the thing. You can't really know how much water to put. So we slowly added maybe, you know, a quart, took a temp, stirred it, took a temp, added a quart, stirred it, took a temp.
Okay.
Until we got up to 126. And that's where we want to hit our protease rest.
Okay.
And then at that point, we're going to let that rest for 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, we'll go ahead and pull off. Now, traditionally, they used a brewer's basket. And basically, it's a wicker basket called Stuykmunden.
Okay.
That sounds right. I agree with that. Yeah. You did good.
It's a wicker basket that they would press down on the top of the grain, and the turbid wort would seep up through that, and they would take the wort off the top.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
You did this.
Did not do this.
You did not weave a wicker basket for this experiment?
My wife was working on it, but she didn't finish it.
You know, the beer tastes like that. It doesn't taste like you used a wicker basket.
Darn it.
So we did pull off about 2 quarts of wort from that. And I'll tell you what, that looked like sour milk. It was off yellow, you know, off white yellowish. And it was that point when I was like, oh, my God, we did something. This is working.
What we're doing.
Doesn't look like normal wort.
No.
You're like, that's turbid as fuck.
Yeah. Definitely fit the dictionary definition of turbid.
Right. And that wort goes on to a different heat source, and we're going to bring it up to about 180 degrees.
Okay.
That's going to denature the enzymes.
All right.
So no more conversion will
take place. Okay. Right. We don't want to boil it because we don't want to reduce the amount of volume we have.
Do that later.
I see.
So we'll bring that up, hold that at 180. And then we're going to go back in, and we're going to slowly add more boiling water. And that's going to bring it up to 150, and that's our beta amylase rest.
Okay.
And we're going to let that sit for about a half hour. There's a lot of starts and stops in this.
And every time you're adding boiling water to do this.
Correct.
Yeah. Could you have used the system heat as well, to turn on the burner?
Direct heat?
Yeah.
We wanted to avoid that for this one, just to stay as traditional as we could.
Because this is how it would have been done. I see. Yeah.
So like the whole purpose of using the new system really just went out the door. Yeah, we were just kind of doing it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, sure. You're like, we got this new system. You know what we should do? Old school.
Yeah.
This
is the guy who's...
So I'm going to heat up rocks.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Vito, but don't worry. I've got this touch screen.
Yeah.
Didn't use it.
Vito was really excited. He got that new system and he was doing 14-step mashes for his Pilsner.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, we're not going to use that at all.
That's funny.
So we're going to let that sit at 150 for a half hour. And then we're going to draw off 2 gallons of that wort and put that in the same pot that other turbid wort is and hold that at 180.
Okay.
Then we're going to, again, get more boiling water, add that over the top. Bring that up to 162, which is the top end of the alpha amylase rest. And we're going to let that sit for about 20 minutes. And After 20 minutes, draw off more wort from the bottom.
Wow.
So now we're at about 5 gallons. We're taking off 2.5 gallons.
And every time you're just keeping in this other vessel and then keeping it at 180 degrees.
180 degrees, correct. Okay. And after that, basically you've gone through all your steps. You're going to take that 180-degree wort, pour that back over the top of the grain, and that should take – and that's actually what was great is we hit all of our – all of this randomness. We hit all of the temperature that we wanted to hit on this. And wow. I was amazed.
While drinking.
While drinking.
Also, you did all of that work, and now you're just going to dump it back over the grain? Is that what you just said?
Yep. We're going to take the turbid wort, and we're going to – kind of use that as a rinse over the grain. We're going to pour that back over the grain and go through our sparge. I'm sorry, our Vorloff.
Okay.
You're not Vorloffing for clarity. You're Vorloffing basically to remove some of the solid mass.
Little bits. Set floaties. The grain bid.
Yeah. And then sparge as normal and then go into the kettle.
Not necessarily normal. You sparge with boiling water, right?
Not quite boiling. 190.
Yeah, 190.
Really close. And that was the crazy thing. Using 190. And everybody looking at it, really? 190? 190? Even Nate's like, oh, I've got to look this up.
Yeah. He pulled out the book.
You're saying that's just tradition?
Well, and there's a reason for it, too. Right? The reason for that is you don't want to extract tannins. You don't want that harsh astringency in your beer.
And this, wait a minute, I thought 190 sparge would give
right, yeah.
Me too, exactly. I thought it was the opposite.
Right. In this beer, the studies have shown that the not only are you fermenting for well over a year for these, that over time all that acid and the sourness will kind of overpower whatever astringencies might be there, but also the astringency might help that really nice dry that really nice dry puckering sensation you get when you drink a good lambic.
Okay. So I can see that.
Are
tannins digestible by the culture? Let's say not.
I'll say not.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But can't they settle out over time? Exactly. If you're aging this beer for 3 years, some will be at the bottom of the barrel or whatever it's in.
And you're doing it for 190 as well because you still have a lot of sweet wort that's entrapped in those unmalted.
So the benefits are kind of outweighing any potential backlash.
Right.
And then the beer kind of cleans itself up anyways.
Over time.
Right. Yeah, since we're sitting for a year. And that was when we hit the books. We're like, wait, hold on. Sparge with 180, 190?
Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
So we got to the bottom of that.
Okay.
And then started the boil. We did a typical 90-minute boil, but we added old-aged hops. And I think Vito touched on why we add those old hops. And I'll tell you, you rip one of those hops open, and it had the color of Cheeto. It was bright orange, oxidized, yellow, lupulin glands.
It got
in there.
Darker as an oxidized.
Yeah.
Smelt of Parmesan cheese.
It did.
I've smelled old hops like that. I've never seen them quite that orange, but I've smelled old hops for sure. Interesting. Okay.
So you sparge it. What kind of gravities are we talking about? We didn't talk about what you're shooting for.
Shooting for about anything over 155 is probably too much for this. We're shooting for 150. 50.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Or 1050, I mean.
Okay.
And then, I'll let Vito kind of talk about the dregs that we pitched. We after 90 minutes, we chilled.
This is a normal boil, one hop addition?
One hop addition.
90-minute boil because you have so much Pilsner malt, you want to drive off the DMS and such. So.
The Bugsley DMS, too, or the
Doug's?
Yeah.
No, maybe they don't. Whatever. You don't want it in there.
I mean, so 90-minute boil.
Sure.
That's what we did.
I mean, they just spent a week mashing this thing. Yeah. They might as well boil for 90 minutes.
How long did they mash it?
Four or five hours just on the mash.
For the mash?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to answer the question at the end right now. I don't care how this beer tastes. It can't. You guys don't answer it. I'm just going to say, there's no fucking way it's worth a five-hour mash at the end.
Time will tell.
I guess so. But I'm telling you right now, but I also don't wait in line for beer like a lot of people do. I don't mean because I skip the line.
Right.
I mean because I refuse to wait in line for beer.
Sure.
That's
it's
what
not
I'm
worth
saying.
It.
No.
5 hour mash?
So,
gentlemen, you really like each other,
right.
I think is what happened. You actually like being around each other.
Well, like we said, that was a fun day. Things that are worth noting, the difference between the wort, like visually obviously, you know, one's like milk and one's, you know, you're the more amber you're used to.
Yeah.
Are you talking about when we did the side-by-side?
Yeah, the side-by-side. The smell is different, very starchy, and the taste is obviously way more starchy. I mean, there's a difference there. You're trying to create an environment for those bugs to, you know, take off for the Britannomyces and the lactobacillus. Oh,
food source.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, food source, yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, so as Vito said, we pitched multiple dregs. And I like to think that most of that was because we just wanted to drink a bunch of sour beer.
Yeah, that's probably part of it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Plus, what do you guys think about that? Aren't a lot of those dregs a little bit the same? Like, a lot of times when I taste beers, like this one, for example, that have multiple dregs in them, I'm calling back other familiar beers. It's not like I'm tasting some all-new sour beer because you put six different bottles of dregs in there. And to me, this, and maybe, of course, I'm just jumping to conclusions, but that says to me that a lot of the yeast are pretty similar.
Well, it's the same basic bugs, right?
Yeah.
But just in different... ratios,
yeah,
and you know, maybe a little differences here and there about maybe where they come from.
Chris White would probably hit us both upside the head for even alluding to the fact that they could all be the same. But I'm just talking about the flavors. The flavors are
similar. They do the thing, and then it's kind of just across the board. But I think it's regional, and it's also how you develop the recipe.
Yeah,
and then of course how you blend it together.
Okay, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The other thing that was noteworthy, which you know, I was like, hey, we're going to aerate the wort. Nate's like, no, you know, and then because lactobacillus and Britannomyces do not want oxygen. So we're trying to, again, create that environment for those bugs to do their thing.
Right. And there's zero Saccharomyces in this beer.
No, there is. Sure. There's some Saccharomyces.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how did that get in there?
It's part of the blend.
The Tahoe Mountain blend?
I see. Okay.
Yeah, right. The one we're drinking is the Tahoe Mountain. But like Rosalaire.
The Rosalaire, even the Rosalaire blend that we bought commercially. Has Saccharomyces yeast.
Yeah. Got it.
Does the culture eat the maltose? Obviously, there's maltose in there.
And that's the first thing that it's going to eat. And it's going to eat the easiest. Yeah, and that's
does
where
the Saccharomyces stand a chance, or is it the
Saccharomyces is going to attack those first
more aggressively than the culture.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So that's why. But that's why when the Saccharomyces is done, there's nothing.
They
left
take
for
a back seat.
Eat.
Yeah,
you got all this starch ready for the bugs.
Yeah, and it's the Britannomyces that's kind of waiting in the wings.
Yeah, and it's eating, but it's not that slow.
Right, yes. Right.
The lacto will eat the simple sugars also.
Sure,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no, it's working on it.
Slower.
And the bread actually likes autolysis, the dead Saccharomyces. Mm-hmm. So then it creates that environment for those guys to feed on.
Evil little bastards.
Yeah. Aren't we supposed to be calling simple sugars like challenged? Sugars.
I mean, that
would be more politically correct. Right?
Yeah, I think so too. It make me feel
special.
Better.
Special sugars.
Special sugars.
So
yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. So that beer is in our glass and still in a carboy.
Correct.
This one that we've just discussed. Mm-hmm. This whole process.
Mm-hmm. Same time.
Okay. And then on another day, you did the same recipe, everything the same, except that you did a step mash.
We did a step mash and then
a turbid.
A turbid.
On the same day.
So, oh, you did do it on the
second
same day.
Turbid.
Okay. That was the long day.
Yeah, we did what Tasty was recommending. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a really long brew day.
It was
and it was
a long
just
day.
Us. Actually, we
Tasty
had
came all, by that day.
Yeah. We It was just Vito and I that time, and we did have a bunch of dregs, and it was at that point that I thought, wait a second, we have to drink all this.
we need to call
you
in
had
the troops.
We had to drink all the same bottles.
We had to call in the troops for that one.
Do we have that beer?
We do.
Let's throw that one on the table, too.
If you guys want another long brew day, you could try using flaked wheat and skip the gelatinized breast and compare that.
Huh? Yet another. But you'd still do all the other steps? Is what
all the same, except with one, you would have fewer steps. If you used flaked wheat that already is gelatinized, you could skip the lower step or two.
And is that still considered a turbid mash?
No.
No, that's just a step mash.
But that's, I think, how most people, like when I homebrew and I'm doing a lambic, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, just using the flaked wheat and just mashing high at like 156 and creating a dextrinous wort,
right.
Which is great. Makes great sour beer.
It works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. It works great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a more modern way of doing it.
So I've got a presentation that they put together, folks at home, that I'm going to put up on the site when I post this show. If you just get the show through iTunes, you're not going to be able to get that. But if you go over to our website, as soon as I post the show, I'm also going to post this file on there. And it's a PowerPoint presentation which talks about all of these steps, and the recipe is in there, and you got all the temperatures, and there's some photos of the carboys, some nudes of Matt Sager.
Wait, what?
On page 11.
Just the rear shot. That doesn't.
Yeah, it's nothing.
No junk.
Nothing your wife.
Don't want to give anything away.
Prove.
Or take.
So, all right. So now this is the one that was done in a more modern style.
Yeah, this is the step mash. This is we did this in April, so it's not going to be quite as deep and complex as the one that we did in January.
It's nowhere near.
And this is the step mash.
It's. I don't even have to taste it again.
It doesn't remind me anything of Cantillon.
It's worth all of the work that you did to do
more
the,
like Dre Fontaine.
To do the full on old school turbo mash.
That's,
I mean, hands down,
astringent and
fucky.
Yeah. It's fucky.
Well, but it's also
even
three
you
or four months younger.
Sure,
but it's thinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess some of the complexities will come out. I guess as you're saying, as the yeast keeps eating, but
the mouthfeel isn't there. The complexity isn't there.
Yeah, the mouthfeel just to me demonstrates the abundance of food source.
Yeah,
that's available.
Yeah,
and there's not as much in this one.
Right, step mash. We're creating lots of simple sugars for the Saccharomyces to munch on before the bacteria even have a chance to get to it.
Yeah, there's no pulling it off and stopping the conversion.
Yeah, we're not denaturing the enzymes at all.
I hope for the sake of lazy brewers around the world, it's just an age difference in these two beers. Because if it's not, then the turbid mash is the way to go. It's 100% different.
Totally.
It's so damn good.
Yeah, it really is. It really is that it's worth it. If you're gonna, look, if you're going to have a beer that's sitting around for 2 years, 3 years,
yeah,
you can take 5 hours, bro.
That's a good point.
Especially on the scale we're talking about.
Point. Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Now, isn't there some sort of shortcut I can take? Like, can I buy these starches? Can I buy dextrins and just add that to the normal mesh?
Right. Dextrin malt?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dextrin malt.
Dextrin malt. No, not malt, but dextrin powder.
Oh.
Long chain sugar is in a bag.
Oh, I see. So you would, in your question, of course, and I want them to answer, you would do a normal brew.
Just a normal, you'd mash like at one, 154 or something to get more dextrins in there.
And you still have two row and wheat.
But then you can also then go ahead and add dextrin, powdered dextrin.
And that is literally adding long chain sugars just like in the kettle.
Yeah.
I think
the starches.
It's the mouthfeel that we got in the first case that we're not getting in the second.
I think it goes back to scale on that one, too.
Yeah,
on a small scale? Sure, that makes sense. If you're doing,
You could ramp it commercially.
Barrels and barrels, yeah. Grain is a lot cheaper than that.
Yeah.
Have you done that, Vito, in your small scale batches? Ever just added?
No. So the small scale, what I've done is just mashed high and created, 156 and more dextrinous wort. And
okay.
That's cheap and easy as well.
Yeah.
So that's what prompted this whole question is like why? Why not just mash a little higher and be done with it?
I see. Well, so far I know why.
It doesn't taste like candy on the second one.
Tasty. What do you think about answer your own question to add.
I don't
the
know.
Powder.
I'm curious. I don't know. I'm not. Yeah. I, this is where I'm just. I sometimes will ask the question to pull out the knowledge that I already know, but I do not know. I'd have to get Jay Goodwin to make some comment on that.
Yeah, because that would be an interesting experiment too. Yeah. Okay. So now you guys are going to age the crap out of this beer.
Yeah.
Or you're just going to forget about it for a couple years?
I'm thinking September, October, we'll probably start to blend this out. And it'll be
We'd like to take some to NCHF this year.
Yeah, and this will be this year's goose. Do a fruit lambic with it
as
well.
Beat those fucking Brew Network guys.
Yeah. I heard they're not going to be there.
Do it. We won't. We're not going to be at NCHF.
No. That's be how many years in a row?
I know. I think it'll only be two.
Oh, really?
I'm going to be in Germany.
Oh, is that the Berlin opening of Stone?
The Stone Grand Opening, which I'm really excited about. I just booked a really crappy hotel next to the Berlin Wall in Berlin.
I thought
which
was down.
Which
side?
It
still stands.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it's still there.
Didn't Reagan tear that down?
Yeah, he told Mr. Gorbachev, tear that down.
It was Hasselhoff, and he did not tear
so
the whole thing
Reagan
down.
Reagan told Hasselhoff to tear it down.
Yes.
Okay.
And he did it, and he was looking for freedom.
And he didn't like it, but he fucking did it.
Yeah, so no NCHF. So I won't get to try it there. Well, I hope you'll bring us some back here. So, and maybe we could do a little follow-up to this episode.
I'd love to.
Where we taste these two.
Let's do it while Jay's in Germany, so I get more of it.
Yeah, good idea. Thank you. I mean, you got to bring us the unblended versions like this, too, so we can really... I mean, I'm telling you, I'm going to be really surprised if this this step mash version turns as complex as the turbid, just based on how different they are now.
I can't imagine it will be.
Based on what based on the wort that we tasted straight out of the kettle.
Oh, even right then you could tell,
you
right?
You could tell
absolutely.
One visually, smell, taste.
Were you kind of disappointed, even though it's for scientific purposes? But were you kind of disappointed? But you going through kind of all the effort and you taste it out of the kettle and you're like, oh, that's kind of that isn't going to be the same.
Absolutely.
And then you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have to do it if that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
same I was time, hoping for a shortcut.
Yeah, like I'm right. That sucks. Okay.
In the name of science. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're
put blinders on.
You're really making different types of food for the different bacteria and yeast that are in there, depending on the different method you're doing. You're going to have way more starches, which only the bacteria are going to go after. The Saccharomyces is not going to touch at all. Brett, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
And versus in the step mash, you're getting way less of that, so there's going to be less for the bacteria to do. Hmm. So given a year, there's no chance that they'll taste the same because the food for all the bugs that are going to be in there, even if the bugs are the same, it's going to be different.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly, yeah.
Beardy actually made sense.
I should be gone more often.
Pretty much just repeated what everybody just said the last 5 minutes.
It's like you went away and learned something.
Paid attention.
Yeah. I don't even have a flat brim hat on. Great.
You didn't even catch all the knowledge.
Right, I didn't even catch. There's no ideas sitting
Vito's
right in front.
Vito's sitting right next to you, Warren. Chill the fuck out.
Oh. I'm keeping my ideas over there.
Warren's throwing some shade right now.
Seriously, dude.
What a dick.
That's fucked up, Beardy.
All right, well.
Come back in here and you insult our guests.
My close personal friend Vito over here.
When Vito calls you his close personal friend, that's when you're about to get whacked.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
You're in. You're not made yet, or whatever. Right. Whatever the hierarchy is.
You're a
you
friend,
walk
of
a friend of ours.
You walk in a room and no one's standing there. Watch out.
He keeps his friends close.
Enemies even closer.
Right. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in and sharing the knowledge with us, guys.
Yes. Thanks for having us in.
Yeah, thank you.
Just quick, you didn't have to do a starter or anything with those dregs. You just dumped them into the carboy.
Just dumped them in. Yep.
No cleaning of the bottom of that bottle. Like you just took whatever was at the bottom of this bottle of sour beers and you dumped it into the carboy along with the Tahoe Mountain House yeast and the Roselair blend?
And well, not all in the same carboy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They were separated into separate
all different. Okay.
Correct. And actually, we put one into a 5 gallon wood barrel.
You've got some agent in oak as well.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. I saw a photo of that in there too. So, okay.
Yeah, for the dregs, what we did is we poured off just enough to keep a little bit of that milky goodness on the bottom of the bottle and capped that off with some tin foil.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Are you willing to take listener emails? Because I have a feeling there'll be some questions. I could give out your email. And
most definitely.
Yeah. All right. Yep. You want to give out an email that someone could use?
I will give mine.
They're both like, you.
No.
Yes.
Apprehensive of.
Yes. So, mrmsager, S-A-G-E-R, @gmail.com.
There you go. Yep. If you got any questions. Also, I'm going to post a presentation along where you will find this very show on thebrewingnetwork.com. So those of you iTunes downloaders, just go over to the website and check it out. You can download the PowerPoint and get a recap of the information, follow along as you listen to the interview. So, all right, gentlemen. Well, thanks. I'm looking forward to trying the beer again a little later.
And it will remind me of being in the parking lot next to Cantillon.
That'd
be amazing.
That reminds me of getting off the bus at Cantillon when I had to pee.
Right.
Danville Brewing Company will be open.
Yeah, we're hoping for late August.
Late August.
Yep.
All right. You know our second anniversary party is August 7th. Don't you go fucking around with some grand opening on August 7th, man.
I'll make sure.
Okay.
You're going to steal all the crowd. Don't do that.
That's right. The Danville crowd and the Concord crowd, very similar. Right?
They
sure.
Are.
Yes. Sure.
Indistinguishable.
No. All right, guys. Thanks for coming in. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more things to do, including taste some beer,
yes,
and Twitter game and other things. Hang in there. It's The Session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great.
The Cicerone certification program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American wheat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft lines.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone certification program offers 4 levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone certification program. We know beer.
With over 20 years of experience making world-class craft beer and more than 100 gold medals in international competitions, Moylan's Brewing Company is not just a pretty face in craft beer. Just ask Brendan Moylan.
What do we got here? The beer of the hour. Moylan's, gotta love that big M. It's like a sign of awesomeness. Moylan's. Woo-hoo! It's got an extra kick to it. Let's pour this bad boy. Oh, Moylan's. The end of the night when the kids are finally in bed, the wife's in bed, nobody bothering your ass anymore. That's Moylan's time. Moylan's is for you.
Yeah.
It's to help you out.
Yeah.
It helps me out.
What?
Well, because it's freaking awesome. Northern California brewed. It's brewed with love.
With love?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. And it's always best where?
Moylan's.
You gotta try it on tap at Moylan's in Novato. They're freaking awesome. Not only because I own the brewery, because I love the beer.
Cheers.
Boom.
Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale takes big beers to a whole new level with rich malt balanced perfectly with delicate hops, and now comes in 4 pack tall boy cans so you can take the party on the go. Or come to the brewery, take a tour, and try any of Moylan's fresh creations right from the source. Check them out at Moylan's.com.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the brewingnetwork.com. BN Army, have you heard the latest at Hop Tech? Since Hop Tech has doubled in size after a huge expansion, Jade and Roberto can stock even more of the best quality homebrewing supplies and equipment. Over 60 kick-ass varieties of hops and malts, monster truckloads of quality brewer's yeast, including White Labs, Y yeast, and multiple dry yeasts. They even have all grain systems from Grainfathers and Ruby Street Brew Systems, thanks to Jade, the brand new all-grain brewer. And don't forget about their 10% discount to all BN Army members. Jade and Roberto are waiting for you and all of your brewing questions over at hoptech.com. HopTech, totally not sucking since 1983.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamel Zainashev, and I love a bold, hoppy beer, one that spits resin in your face and makes you cry, uncle. There are a lot of great hoppy beers out there, but at Heretic, we want to make something as bold, dank, and resiny as possible. We use hops at every chance we get, including multiple dry hop additions. The result is Heretic Evil Cousin. This light golden, 8% Imperial IPA has an easy malt character that helps take the edge off the massive bittering, but it takes a back seat to the in-your-face hop character. We make sure this beer finishes dry so the hops can jump out and slam you in the taste buds. If you can't get enough hoppy goodness, Evil Cousin is your cup of tea. Cheers.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
Everyone wants burritos for dinner.
In such a simple way.
That's what we're talking about at the break, is burritos. We weren't talking about beer. This might disappoint you, folks at home.
Yeah.
But at the breaks, we don't really talk about beer. We talk about burritos.
Right.
Sometimes we talk about Bevo's vagina.
Most of the time, we find the talk leaning towards vagina.
You do not talk about that.
We do. Yes, sometimes we talk about how it's getting old.
That's all. Awful and inappropriate.
We can hear you we can hear you coming like a mile away.
I forgot she's on the other side of the glass when we do that.
That's true.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
I'm logging an official complaint.
We were just kidding.
With HR.
Got
Did
her.
Did I say vaginas? I meant angina. That disease?
Yes.
Isn't that a disease?
Angina's tough. Dude.
I hope it is.
Angina.
Yeah. Hey,
thank you. Yeah. Hey. Speaking, actually, I can't do that's a terrible segue. so I was about to do the
Can
worst.
I do that, Reed?
I was about to do the worst sponsor segue
ever. Who is it?
Well, I was going to do White Labs, but.
Oh my gosh!
Speaking of debilitating diseases.
Feeling like that.
Speaking of vaginas.
What sponsor gets this segue? Beersmith. Beersmith.com.
Yes.
You can go there right now and get your free 21-day trial of their brewing software, which will do wonders for your brewing. Go to beersmith.com. Check it out. Works on both Mac and a PC and maybe even other things. I don't even know if there are other things nowadays.
Well, yeah, there's Linux.
We might work on that. I don't know.
Red Hat. I mean, who knows?
Well, just go check it out over at beersmith.com. There's a podcast. There's the videos. There are tutorials for everything. But look, it's free for the 21 days. And if you don't like it, what's the big deal? You would just not use it again. You would let it expire. But
right.
When you like it, you're going to just trust me.
You're going to love it.
Go to beersmith.com. Check it out. Okay. So only a couple of things left to do here today.
Close that door, Matt. Jesus Christ.
God damn it, Matt.
No, don't touch it.
Now he's Matt. Stop fighting with Blobber. Oh, Matt just took Tasty. See, I love this. Do it because Tasty's out doing some other bullshit anyway.
Right.
And so Matt Sager's gonna.
At the end of the last the Begbie show, he like ditches me in the last segment.
Tasty. Oh yeah, he was gone.
He's gone.
Who was in here with you?
Jeff. Nobody. It was me and I think Bev and maybe Warren. That was it. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Oh, here he is.
Well, that's all right.
Anyway, get Beersmith. He won't leave you. Brad won't leave you.
That's right. Right. That's right. All right. Hey, what was our Twitter game tonight?
Our Twitter game was we are hiring Blobber because he's now officially an American citizen. We're capturing him. And we want to hire him and give him a job. And so what's his job going to be?
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. Brewing up trouble. Our good friend Randall says, Blobber should be the official BN singing telegram man.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine, like, whenever... I'm going to refine it. And like, if you have to
Candy
yell at Bev...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Then
oh.
You send Blobber, and he would sing your yelling.
In telegram?
So you have a radio show in a bar. That's what's going to happen. You're
going to
hear shit.
Yeah, but we were on air 2 minutes ago.
I know!
All right, I'm just
going to... You're going to be all right.
Hang on, let me do my breathing.
Where's Steve? Call Steve. Here's Bev, get Steve on the line.
I just got to do my breathing. Just focus on the in, out.
Would you want to know, a mental readiness training? You sit there, and you calm down, and you focus on the now.
Mindfulness.
That's what I'm doing.
You can focus your contact points.
Actually,
your
I don't
body
focus on that
chair.
Because now is what fucking sucks. Like, that's a stupid thing to do. Because the time that you need to get out of now.
Yeah.
Like
no.
People are like, oh yeah, when you get angry, focus on now. Really? Because now is what I'm pissed off about.
No, you're pissed off about the past.
Oh God.
Because what happened was a minute ago. or 30 seconds ago.
Oh.
And you root yourself in now and realize what all the only thing that matters is you, your place. In the universe right now.
Oh, my God.
Shalom,
turn
namaste.
His microphone off.
Is this because I didn't hear the bumper to come back in the studio?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh.
It's several things. let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something that Blobber can go sing that is an angry message for Bevo, but that clearly Blobber will deliver in Blobber's way.
Right, right.
What did I do?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of something.
Just Trevor's the roots, oh, such attitude.
I was ordering the food.
I know. You didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, okay.
You're great. Yeah. This is the problem. I'm trying to think of something I'm mad at
oh,
you
I was
for,
like, what did I do?
And I can't think of anything.
Well, you're mad at Blobber. He didn't hear the bumper, so well, deliver. Have him deliver a message to Warren.
I'm mad at Beardy.
Yes, sorry, yeah.
I'm not really, though.
I know, but let's pretend.
My gosh.
Get it out on me.
But it's not angry. No, it has to be something real fucked, because I think he needs material. I feel like Blobber's an artist, and I can't just give him...
He needs inspiration.
Ask her where the new chairs are.
Oh. Well, that's the thing. So they arrived, actually. Oh. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I'm just... Don't
I'm angry.
I know Bevo's angry.
You can sing a song about my anger.
Tazy, we came through on our word.
I put that damn chair together.
I saved you from those chairs. I saved you from
I'd
those
chairs.
I'd
have an even bigger chance of getting
impaled.
Oh, my
God. Huh? You would have hated this thing.
What happened?
They were terrible.
Well, so I tried to get them like mine that are super adjustable, right? So you can go way down or way up.
Yeah.
There's two things I'm trying to fix for you guys. One is that the chairs are a little too floppy.
Yes.
And two, I feel if I were you, I would feel too low down.
Sometimes, yeah.
And so I wanted you to have the option to... So we... According to the measurements, we got the right chairs. But the lowest that they go, your knees would have been jamming.
Oh, wow.
I mean, every time, jamming into the desk.
Ugh.
And you'd have been sitting like...
No good.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, no good.
So we ordered for 8 of the damn things. We spent a small fortune. Had to send them all back. Luckily,
also,
Bevo, God bless her, was smart enough to put one together, check it out, and then she called me and she's like, you have to come down here before I build any more chairs. I'm not building another chair until you
I check. Measured them and I was like, nope, that's wrong.
So chairs went back and we'll start her again.
It's really important that it be done right.
Exactly. Seriously.
Beardy's sitting on the floor over there. See how low his chair
is? Oh, my God.
The hydraulics are
I'm actually just
one.
Squatting but yeah. in the corner.
Let me just be honest with you. Taking the chairs apart was harder than putting them together.
Here's the thing. Remember when they built the new Bay Bridge, $20 million over budget and 5 years late?
Yeah.
And then the engineer said, it's the new bridge is broken.
Brand
new.
It's broken.
But they were like, it's less broken than the old bridge, so we're going to use the new bridge, but we have to fix it. That's what would have happened in here had I kept those chairs. You guys all would have come in, and you would have looked at me, and you'd have been like, okay, this sucks.
What am I doing up here?
We waited a year, and I'd have been like, yeah, but you won't fall over and die in these new chairs. So that would have been the only saving grace.
I think it would have been great because we can finally put him on the pedestal that he wants to be on.
Correct.
Mm. Right?
I was on an EM station one time. You're probably on the same show once.
See?
And they're all high chairs.
I know.
Too.
This was my goal.
That's pretty common, right?
I can't find those chairs. Those are the ones I've been looking for.
So you
for
could
years.
Be there if you wanted to.
Yeah. I'm trying.
I thought you were just like towering high. Over all of us.
Mine goes up in your
high chair.
I can't even find this chair or I would have gotten this for all of you.
I looked for it.
Yeah.
I looked.
We're looking.
Yeah, your chair is way too high. Every time I sit in it, I've lowered it all the way down.
No.
I can't do it.
But you can do it. You can lower it.
Yeah.
It's good. It's adjustable.
I like it high.
You don't have the inferiority complex.
I don't.
Exactly.
But in this chair, like my heels are almost touching my ass because I'm so folded in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not my high heels. Those are at home.
High heels are up
there. Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Exciting chair talk here in the Brewing Network. The Brewing Network, wow. Home of chair talk.
Someone asked for the real Brewing Network update in the feedback.
Thank you.
They are getting it.
That's
they
right.
They are.
We were looking for something Blobber could...
That was the longest tweet ever, really.
This is the exciting talk that goes on.
This is as exciting
at
as
the
it gets
here.
Yeah. And we all laugh, and then we go and cry.
How was your toast this morning?
Dry as
Fuck, bruh.
Bet.
Just right, the way you like
so
it.
So Blobber sings Candygrams, okay?
Yes, Candygrams. Here we go. Christian Welch writes in and says, you guys have tasks?
Okay.
Thought that was appropriate. Yeah. And then someone else called Christian Smith, too many Christians in the world, his job would be fluffering the nutters.
You know,
whatever
that's
that means.
That's a stupid joke, but it does fit Blobber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like something he'd be good at.
Well, and it fits that room.
First of all,
a lot of nuts.
It
here.
Is a double entendre. Do, Blobber, do Canadians eat fluffernutters? Is that a thing? Or is that just a East Coast thing?
I have no clue.
It's a Northeast thing. You don't know what a fluffernutter is?
Oh, it's great.
It's marshmallow fluff, which is like a spread.
It's terrible.
With okay. peanut butter.
Yes.
Preferably chunky.
Oh, you gotta go chunky. Smooth right. Peanut butter's for idiots.
No, don't gross. Have it smooth.
And then in between two pieces of bread, right. You know, like a sandwich. That's it. That's a fluffernutter.
White bread.
White
so
bread.
White.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder bread.
It's the whitest bread.
Basically.
So the nutritional value is cancer.
Did you hear me say peanut butter?
Right.
That's healthy.
Chunky. Yeah. It's a protein.
Right. It's diabetes and protein.
You fucking right. Canadians, man. You're picky. 50% of that sandwich is healthy.
Hydrogenated.
And where's your glass? Half empty.
Oh!
Well, half unhealthy.
I think it's a third of that sandwich is healthy.
Plus the bread.
Dude, yeah. It'll get you through winter.
The bread. Okay, fine. So, fluffernutters.
Fluffering the nutters.
Got it.
Al says, translating the show for the Canadian listeners.
Ah, that's a good... Oh. Yeah. Oh. And he could... Frankly, he could translate it for the Canadians and the French. And the French Canadians.
And the French Canadians.
Probably not the French. Probably only the French Canadians. You could do the French, too?
Yeah, no, the French didn't understand me when they were here.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. That's you
that's
could do
right, I remember that.
That was Siamese or
because
something.
Because the French Canadians do fancy French. Like, they're old school. It's very, it's like old English.
Oui, tabernac.
Yeah, that.
Oui, tabernac.
Yeah. Yes, JP.
I remember asking my...
Oh, I didn't know you spoke French, JP.
Bonsoir.
Bitch.
Yeah.
We.
Good evening
we,
to you.
We,
bitch.
We. No.
All right.
Okay. Brad Allen says Blobber would be our squire. He would follow Justin. He would follow Justin around singing tributes to his travels and conquests.
Oh, my God.
This is my dream job.
Oh, man, in my life.
I want this job now.
I want you to have this job. I will do almost anything to make this happen.
You need to pull up a
would you hire me?
Yes.
You need to pull up a YouTube channel of like lute playing. Yeah. And then see if he can just jam like
jam
freestyle
cat for 8 hours straight.
Yeah, like freestyle a song.
How do you spell lute?
L-U-T-E.
Thank you.
We're going to work on this.
Yeah. Or if you're in if you're in World of Warcraft, it's L00T, but you know.
Would that be a good enough job for him to get his green card?
He'd get all the colors.
I don't think it's as hard.
I think I'd rather be a Canadian.
To get your green card in the U.S. as it is to get it if you were an American trying to get it in Canada.
No, Canadians are much more picky.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll right. take anybody.
If you can do this, Blobber, if you can be my, what's it called?
Squire.
Again? Squire, thank you. Then we're going to make this happen. This guy's like a singer there, too.
Can you handle this?
So go ahead, sing a song about Justin's.
Some words,
right? You know, what did he do yesterday?
Wait,
brewing prowess
I have to change
or something.
Because that guy was going to start singing.
No, we don't want that.
Let's
no.
try this one. Oh, this one's very serious.
Wow,
danger ahead.
Behold, Justin, he's the greatest dude in the world. He has this beautiful radio show. Talks about beer all the time.
I'm into it.
And one day, it was tragic. Someone someone said something about Led Zeppelin, and everything went wrong.
Here, I like this other one better. Let's sing till you go until he starts like singing.
Am I supposed to sing your life?
It's like your greatest.
Behold, Justin,
I like this
beautiful
one.
Man.
I love how it always starts with Behold, Justin. That makes me feel good. It makes me feel important.
Well, he's a process, for the job. Right? He's trying to.
Right.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
You're the squire.
Sing
Aren't I supposed to be singing like what's going on in his life?
Justin is sitting in a sweet spirit.
No, what you do is you're making up songs to spread them throughout the land, extolling the virtues and the bravery of your knight.
Starting out there.
Yeah.
Telling of his conquest.
You would introduce him. Before a jousting.
Well, he's done behold every time.
Right, when he walks into a room.
Impaled, right?
That's what that means, behold.
Okay. Behold. Right?
Behold, Justin, he's going to be impaled while jousting.
All right, I like that one.
Okay, good. Matthew Whitted, Matthew.
That guy.
Says, smoke cigarettes and not appear on the show. Too late, that job is already filled.
Oh, right.
Roasted!
Wow.
Roasted!
You just got nailed.
Twist the knife.
That was shady.
Feeling the burn.
Ouch.
That was shady.
All right. Rowing the shade.
Sucker got roasted, fam.
I don't like cigarettes.
That shit was 100. And then
I kind of need a cigarette right now.
And then last but not least, Big Diggity D says, grieve jobs and making Bevo super uncomfortable since Sugar Valley Brewer seems to have resigned.
Oh. I think he offended me. Nothing makes Bevo more uncomfortable than a grieve job.
Or Sugar Valley Brewer.
Right, those are both of those things.
Except Sugar Valley Brewer. Yeah. All right, is that all?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Those are the best ones.
All right, well, I like Blobber the...
Squire?
Squire?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
I think that's it, too.
Okay.
Yeah. There we go.
Right, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, definitely.
Brad Allen, who's actually outside the studio.
Well, he'll get his t-shirt really quick.
Wow. Yeah, Brad, if you're listening, you won.
Brad Allen.
Is that not really a squire and more of a baird? The guy who sings
songs? I think it's both. I think a bard is not attached to a knight so much as a squire is. But I don't know. I don't watch that much Game of Thrones.
Clearly, Justin is a knight, so.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a fierce knight.
A dark knight.
Battling the dragons. A dark knight.
Dark.
He's not the knight we want, but he's the knight that we need. Right. So.
I think I'm just the knight that
we're looking for a replacement.
You're the knight that we got.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, this one sings. This is what a squire does.
This is what you should be.
Oh. It's not
I want to
show me. Show me.
But love will still my steps pursue. I cannot his ways
take eschew. Note, Blubber. This should be about me.
This is my future.
But love will still my steps pursue. I cannot his ways eschew. Thus still helpless hopes I.
Your timing is off.
So you would say things about my razor sharp wit. And,
oh, yeah, you can give your talking notes.
Your renowned manhood size.
Let him write it for you. You just sing it.
My all dark pubic hairs, for example.
Oh. Hey. Yeah.
But silver beard.
JP revealed to me before the program that he
checked
found
him for you?
His, he found his own first gray.
Oh, yeah.
All gray.
Pubic
all
hair.
Gray.
Yeah. And I just saw.
Versus partially gray?
Yeah. You can have partially gray hair. Sure. Why can't you have partially gray hair?
I don't know.
It doesn't just turn instantly gray overnight.
It does. It grows gray.
I feel like, the hair's either black
or
gray. No,
it turns gray. Yeah, it does.
I don't think so. I think it grows gray.
How can you see your
pubic hair? Well, if it grows gray, then it would stand to reason that part of it is gray.
No, he's right. It would start. It starts growing out of the follicle.
Yeah, all of the parts would be
gray.
But
you can already have hair that's one color, and as it starts to grow out, it gets darker.
So you get like a fade.
It changes color.
Wait. But the question is, does your existing hair
turn gray?
And then second of all, if it grows gray, what I meant was from follicle, it grows gray. So it would never be partially gray.
Right.
It would be all gray.
No, right.
Yeah.
But I don't actually know the answers
at
to these.
The follicle is where it comes from.
Right.
Can we call Doc?
Wait, he's a doctor. Are you saying that all of my really long gray hairs have grown from birth that way? Like from
they've changed. They're currently growing gray.
So
they didn't grow gray. You know,
they were brown or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so it does turn gray.
Of course,
I didn't know that.
That's hence the name turning gray.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's more of a verb. But.
Like
anyhow,
you
now you found a.
I found my first gray pubic hair. Yeah.
That's depressing. You know, years ago, and sitting in the studio in Pacheco.
Yeah.
That's when you found yours?
Jamil revealed to me the day that he first felt old.
Oh.
And it was when he found his first gray.
Everyone told me that. Like, I found my first gray arm hair. It's right there. And then I found another one recently, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't
and then
know
someone was like, wait till you find your first pube. That's great. A month later, I'm sitting there looking at my tiny wiener.
Bingo.
There it is. Bam. Like laying that's right the on the wiener. Just like it's not even just blending in with all the other shrubbery.
No,
it's like
it
right out in front.
You.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Like, new look. He's looking now.
It was like, wow. So what are you going to do?
I'm going
to
leave
now
it.
You have to shave.
Trim that thing
did
off.
Did you pull it out?
Yeah, you can't keep that.
I didn't pull it out. No, I left it.
No,
you know
don't
why?
Pull it.
It's depressing.
What? Just for men pubes.
You can't keep it. It's depressing.
I'm okay with it.
Well, has Taryn found it yet?
You're not okay with it.
I don't think I even told her. I think I even kept that from her.
You know what you ought to do? You ought to pluck it out and leave it on her pillow.
Thought about leaving it on your console there.
You got to leave it on her little cute nose when she sleeps.
Beep. There you go.
Wait, Taryn, you got a long nose hair, bro. God, what's
oh,
that
it's
weird,
gray.
Gross gray hair
you're
on
so
your
nasty.
Face.
Stop it.
You nasty.
You nasty, girl. Girl, you nasty.
I mean, you can't keep it.
I mean, I have to because it's not like I'm like perfectly chiseled and perfect features
no,
everywhere.
But it doesn't
except
matter.
For that, like I have gray hair, I have balding hair, I have gray arm hair. I'm not. What am I? What am I?
That's
trying to
saying,
do,
it's
you
the
know
last
what I mean?
Frontier. You got to take a stand at some well, no, point,
but,
JP.
But now it's distinguished.
Oh,
down
not,
there, right?
No
wiener's
no.
distinguished,
right? Yeah. After all these years,
do leg hairs go gray? Is that a dumb?
I don't
question?
Know.
Oh, everything.
I would imagine everything. Because
I feel like that's the last. I feel like it starts here and works down, right?
Oh, maybe.
But I feel like I'm aging at such a high rate. I feel like Benjamin Buttons because it's like I'm 28 when I started going bald. Like, that's not normal. And then I'm turning gray. I have gray pubes at 38.
Benjamin Button got younger.
Yeah, I feel like that's backwards.
But I'm reverse Benjamin Buttons.
So regular Buttons.
You're regular.
I'm regular Buttons.
So just so you're a human being.
Yeah. I'm his younger brother, Ted Button.
Ted, who was a normal human being.
At some point, they're the same age. Who looks better?
That's
I don't
true.
Know. Can't tell them apart.
You're absolutely right about that.
Who knows? Maybe they were twins.
Maybe he got sad about his last gray hair.
Right?
Like, damn it!
Ugh.
You have to listen.
You want to show you? That's what you're going to say, right?
Close
yeah.
that curtain.
I mean,
he had to
if
think
you
about
close
it.
The curtain, I'll take a look at it. Fuck it.
It's just a gray hair amongst a sea of black. Not
how long is it? When's the last?
It's like a
norm.
I haven't trimmed it long. I haven't trimmed it in a while. So it's I don't know. It's a pube. It's probably that long. I don't know. I'm showing. It's like 3 inches. I don't know if I can find it because it's too close to the shaft. And I'm not trying to show you my hog.
So you were combing through.
No, it literally just happened to be laying on it. Like right when
you should pluck it.
You think so?
I think this one you should hold off as long as possible. And then soon when it really starts to go gray, you should start, you know, shaving more, trimming.
Well,
more.
I feel like if often. I pluck it, I'm only fooling myself.
That's okay.
But I already know it's there, so then it doesn't do any good, right?
Sometimes when you fake it, you really do make it.
Does hair dye work on your pubes just like it does on your head? You could just dye it.
Why not?
Yeah,
hair.
I don't know.
I know, but,
yeah,
it's,
but
very,
it's coarse.
It's coarse.
Right?
Yeah, it's like a harder material.
It's like dyeing your nose, your nose hairs.
Or your beard. Oh.
I think you ought to take a stand at some point, JP, and not just roll over and dye. I'm thinking.
Okay. I'll consider it.
Just think about it.
I will. The hard part is if I don't know if I have any under on like a taint or in like the bee hole. I don't know where they go. Right?
Have a good friend.
Now you can't be sure.
Tasty, I've known you for a long time.
You're fucking married.
Will you be my good friend? Be my good friend, Tasty.
No.
I would do the same for you.
I'll consult with your wife.
Tasty's right.
There's a reason
that people get
she'll
married.
She need like a head
and
flashlight.
It's
no.
For stupid things like this.
I disagree. I would look at Tasty's butthole if he asked me to. That's how much I like
what
the man.
What a friend that would be.
He's not asking you to look at his butthole.
Right.
He's asking you to look at his hair.
I know, but hypothetically. When you go hypothetical, Warren, you always pick the best situation that could ever happen.
Also, he wants to look at Tasty's butthole.
Right. See his butthole.
Yeah, I feel like we just learned something else.
Yeah. I mean, think of all the meals that have passed through that thing.
If that
thing could talk, it would tell a culinary masterpiece.
I think it's already told the stories, probably a few hours after
culinary?
He ate it.
Culinary?
Culinary.
I once had a corn dog in St. Louis.
It was the best corn dog ever.
Complain about the Mexican food, I think it's better.
Right.
That's
it's like the vagina monologue. It'd be Tasty's butthole monologue.
Write that.
Blobber will sing it.
I'll do it live.
Sing it. I'll fucking you will do it live. I will fucking write that.
All right.
All right.
Tasty. I just want to say.
Can I fart a few verses?
Can I tell you now? You remember Lee's remorse? Was wonderful. Wonderful
sober moment here.
Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful service.
Sure.
When we do yours, I'm going to fuck with you so much more. Just so you know. Like, I'll say nice things, too.
I would expect that.
But then I'm going to fuck with you.
That's right. Okay. Because everybody there is going to know me as...
Yeah.
We'll be cashing in our bets.
I mean, exactly. Like, oh, yeah. We're going to cash in our bets right there in front of everybody. We're going to be like, who got the...
You know what we need to do is actually draw it out on, like, a poster board. And then we bring that up at the memorial. Because I imagine you would host it.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then we start divvying up the cash. We bring the cash box. We actually really do it.
It'd be like a display, like a flower display, only not that nice.
Yeah. And by the way, mine...
Don't play any clips of things I may have said on the show.
No.
It's not my best work.
I wouldn't. No, I would never.
I don't.
And by the way, when mine happens before Tasty dies... It better be a full-on roast.
Oh, I'm taking care of it.
You have no idea.
Full-on.
You have no idea. Absolutely.
Like, no fucking around.
I've thought about your death a lot.
I know.
Yeah. No, I have this weird thing where, like, I think about everybody's memorial service.
Oh, okay.
And what, like, everybody I know, all you my did. Friends, I've thought about everyone's memorial service. And
was
what
this
would
before
happen?
You got your gray pube or after?
Before.
Okay.
No. Okay.
And so, yes, yours would naturally be a circus act of roasting and probably lots of food.
I love that.
Yeah.
More
as
roasting
it should be.
Food.
Yeah. Mine, I just want to be an orgy. I want all of my friends to impregnate all of my other friends.
See, I would like that except
style.
For your friends.
60 style.
Swap your friends out.
Yeah, yeah. Can we get other friends?
Bevo's my friend.
Okay, that's a doer.
Well, she's old. So.
Hard pass and rude.
Also, the broad, can the broad from the that she brought to the cruise come?
Oh, right.
That one will work.
Oh, basic?
Basic.
Yeah. Yeah. She. Well, she's not really my friend. She's my friend on Facebook. Facebook friends Facebook. Count.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So, Beardy, we got something to work
okay,
with.
Okay, yeah. I can go. Yeah. I'll go to your funeral.
I'll go Thank to you. Your funeral.
Cool. I'm real happy to hear that.
It's going to be great.
Be passing on your funeral.
Bevo, you're going to get it in both ends. It's going to be fantastic. Stop it's what JP's wish.
Right. It is my wish. My, yeah.
His final
I
wish.
I didn't plan it. I just...
I want Eiffel Towers to happen for real.
It's going to be fucking London everywhere you've
Paris.
Ever seen.
You get the money. Yeah. We
Paris.
Can make that
Or Paris.
Good effort.
Whatever.
For Blobber's funeral, we're going to have to thaw the permafrost to bury him. Right.
Off of his wiener?
Yeah.
Or we just
when
leave.
You die, what's going to happen? Like, or do we have to go all the way to like BFE or BFC rather to like bury you?
I don't know. There's no way I'm going up to Canada for your funeral. I'm going to phone it in.
I totally would. I will. This is what I'll do.
I'll Skype in.
I'll go up to the front. I'll just turn my phone on and I'll just hold it up like this. I'll hold my phone out to the crowd and then you can talk through the phone.
Oh yeah, we can Skype in.
Yeah, I'll be your proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I'll do that, but I'm not coming up there, Blob.
I would.
Oh, do
that.
Come on.
Do they have a special room in the mine?
You'll
so you can
be
get like more than 6 feet
Blob.
Under?
The morgue?
Yeah, that's true.
They just push me down the stope.
Yeah, we don't go down there anymore.
Blob, are you going to come down for mine?
Absolutely.
You would?
Yeah.
Would you sing at it?
Absolutely.
Oh,
I want that. I will.
I want that so
I will.
Bad.
I will. Whatever he writes, I will sing it in in that form, the joust form, whatever it is.
The joust form.
All right. I want that so bad.
I'll write it.
I want it to be the funniest show we've ever done.
We should do, let's do a funeral.
Oh, that would be a session?
You realize we're talking about like a couple months. You guys should start writing now.
What makes you think it's not written already?
It's all done.
It's all done. Blower's I'm a planner.
Like, I brought my guitar.
Why do you think he drove here?
The band equipment. Right, yeah.
It's very sharp knife.
He drove here because California has the best hardwood to make lutes from.
Hey, speaking of hardwood.
can Blobber read it?
Don't. For-
yeah, you want to read this, Blob?
I do.
Here, hang on.
I thought this was a...
There you go. But it's like you got to improvise a little bit because it's like bullet points. Like that's how good we are. We improvise.
Yeah. Here, that's come the here, best Blobber. Let's, like, let's change. Let's change here.
Fill in the blanks.
I don't know what you want from me. I can't like print it out for you and shit. Do you need glasses?
Okay. Boy.
I'll buy it. What's the web address?
Wait,
how do I order?
Is anyone going to have fun here?
Can he read it in French?
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
Like, do we have, like, some sexy music? He can just read it all in French?
I'll translate it. I mean, there's no language barrier thing, right?
No, it can't be done in French.
There's no love. There's no language barrier
thing.
With love.
Okay. Hey, man.
You guys do it.
Okay. So, JP, would you like to get a little more?
I would love to get a little more.
Yeah. Would you like a little more?
I think
I would love a little more.
Go to adamandeve.com. And for a limited time only, you get 50% off just about any item. When you select one item, is this the old read? When you select one item of 50%, you'll see three free adult DVDs plus a free exclusive gift.
I like free.
And it's not going to be Canadian because you already got that. On top of it all.
He just rubbed his ass on JP.
It was a free gift.
They'll even throw in free shipping. Listening, free shipping.
Yeah.
Nice. On your entire order, not just half your order.
Wow.
You
know, the entire thing. The
entire thing. Exclusive gifts.
That's a good thing to point out.
That's a great thing.
What if they did only offer it on half your order?
Yeah, you get half free shipping. Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, the rest is inflated.
We chopped your dildo in half. We sent you half. And if you want the other half,
you get half for free.
Yeah.
But probably only the fake ball.
It's the same
half.
Size, you know.
Yeah, not the rounded.
Okay, so exclusive gifts include maybe clip bumper.
Not maybe. Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
The clit bumper.
I've never had a clit bumper. I don't know what that does because I've never found my clitoris.
Read on.
Yet.
It'll tell you.
The ideal pleasure gift ring for couples.
Yeah.
For couples?
What are couples? I don't know. We'll love the way this love ring lets him stay harder.
Right.
Longer.
Increases. I wish you could see his face.
Yeah.
If you could increase the strength of orgasms.
See, Blubber, this road trip of yours could have been better.
Right.
She'll love the way the pleasure nubs thrills her sweet spot.
Who doesn't?
His unique bumper. Bumpers are meant to protect you, not stimulate you. Stimulates her clitoris.
Yes.
Not yours. And stretchy.
It does hers. Assimilate her clitoris. Yes.
Soft and stretchy for comfortable fit. Made of premium silicone.
Yes.
Waterproof. Compatible with all water-based lubes and not silicone-based lubes because that will ruin your sex toys. You should know this, Justin.
Yeah, I do know this. But carry on. Go on.
Yeah. AdamandEve.com, boys and girls. And use coupon code BNARMY, BNARMY,
thank you.
At checkout. That's BNARMY at AdamandEve.com. Use code BNARMY, BNARMY at AdamandEve.com. Do it. And buy all your sex toys at Adam and Eve.
There you go. Hey! Thank you, Glover.
Wow. Nice job, Glover.
Wow. You like shifted from like sexy to car salesman real fast.
You got the hand gestures for radio, too.
Yeah,
yep.
He does.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to call this show the Buy a Dildo for Blobber show. All right? I'm challenging you all to go on to Adam and Eve this week. Let our sponsor know that we're still here and we still love them. It's Buy a Dildo for Blobber week.
That way you can think of Blobber every time you
it's
use
it. It's
not
very catchy, is it, JP? I need a catchier clit bumper for Blobber.
Bumps for Blobber? No, that's different.
Cox for Canada? I don't know. Just go buy something for Blobber on adamandeve.com right now. Okay.
I have a public service announcement.
Yes, please.
I want to remind the AHA members that August 2nd is the members only presale for the Great American Beer Festival. So there you can get
that's a good reminder.
Yeah,
Saturday afternoon session tickets. You limit two per person. Starts at 10 a.m. Mountain Time.
Which
August 2nd.
That's next week, right?
Yeah.
So great time to become an AHA member if you're not already.
It's another benefit we didn't talk about.
That's a great session, the members-only session, everything else. Plus, you just get that extra chance to do it. So click the AHA link on our homepage right there. Good public service announcement you got there. And then real quick, don't forget that our friends at White Labs got three new yeast strains out in July. WLP603, Tarula Spara Delbrücke.
Oh, I love that place.
Mm. Delbrücke.
Yeah.
Wild yeast
there, doesn't it?
Isolated from fruit trees in Denmark. It's like these people have nothing better to do. The strain produces a lot of esters and contributes some phenolics and has been used for ciders and wine, but also ferments well for beer. The WLP773 Scottish Cider Blend contains two ale strains and one wine strain. Unlike a lot of ale strains that typically dry out most ciders, this unique blend of Saccharomyces strains still leaves some residual sweetness for the perfect mouthfeel. And finally, WLP 030, the Thames ale yeast. Strains very flocculent and great for porter stouts, ESBs, and has a lower ester production than most English ale strains. So don't forget to go check out our friends over at White Labs. All right, folks, I think we have completed our journey on today's program.
I believe so.
Blobberglop, thank you for being in the studio. It was a lot of fun to see you here.
Thanks for having me.
And I don't know.
I took him a 2-1-A today.
Yeah.
And Rare Barrel. Had a good time, yeah.
How did that go?
Very nice. We met up with Sully, and he showed us around. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did he put on, did you both put on your little, like, normal person act that the two of you do? Like, Sully was like, ooh, that's good. And then you were like,
hello, oh, Sean. My name is Matthew.
I'm normal. Did you guys do that whole awkward thing?
Oh.
You did.
I don't know. What do you think?
Was it awkward? No, not in a weird way. Yeah, a tolerable way.
But not in a not way either.
That was fine. Everyone did great. It was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And we had a Casper's hot dog. You can't leave the Bay Area without having Casper with a C. Infinitely better than Casper's with a K. Right.
There's another one?
Yeah. So they like these two cousins or whatever started Casper's with a C, and then there was infighting, and one branched off and started Casper's with a K because he's a spiteful fuck.
Also in the Bay Area?
Yeah, there's one across town. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I never noticed there was two. You know, because I don't pay attention to hot dogs, I guess.
Well, because they're written the same. It's like everything's the same. Pay attention to hot dogs. I get a Google alert, email alert. Hot dog.
You and Bevo. Your hot dog daily alert.
Yeah. Oh, she's hot dog queen.
She is boycotting hot dogs.
My old email address used to be hot dog queen.
I know you're...
Yeah. I know.
And the church made her change it, so...
Hot dog,
that's so awful. There's a story behind it. Shut up.
That's how Sam and her met. It was accidental. He wrote an email to the wrong address.
Well, his
I used to work at a hot dog restaurant called Sam's Doghouse.
He was trying to send his credit card number.
His email was Bun Queen, so it worked out.
Yeah.
Bun King.
Bun Whatever. King.
Whatever. Shut up, Beverly. No one likes you.
That's right. Not true.
Hey, did you guys hear Drake's is opening a place in Sacramento?
What?
What?
No.
What?
Yeah. I think they're opening a place by Raley Field in Sacramento, a brewery.
It's an actual brewery, not just
West
Casey?
Sacramento. A
no,
brewery.
It's not a brewery. No. Is it?
Well, no. I guess I haven't verified that. The article that I read from the Sac B or whoever it was said brewery. But maybe it is just a tasting.
Well, then they may be. Yeah, I didn't see that. Looks like they're just going to take over the food and beer concession at this outdoor sort of...
Well, that's not what the article said at all.
Well, maybe they are opening more than one thing.
No,
you said
maybe
by the, ballpark?
The article was
This was
shite.
Said West Sacramento.
Yeah.
And it's just a picture of this odd-looking building?
Yes.
Kind of a red stucco kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what I read.
Well, brewery won't fit in there, would it?
I don't think that can't like be anywhere. The building. That's
like a
just
brew
some,
pub?
They just,
so what is that picture? That's
they
it.
Pulled that off of iStock photo or some shit. I don't know. All right, I'll try to find out for you. I'll try to get the scoop from Drake's and see what's up.
Out.
But apparently they're opening something in Sacramento, and that's exciting.
That is exciting.
Sacramento's a good beer town now, or at least it's grown up.
Drake's
to be.
Is already in that market, so that'll be great. They'll love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we're off next week.
We are off next week.
Which is really exciting for me. I haven't worked this long in ages.
You know, how do you feel?
Three whole weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah, what's
three
wrong?
Weeks in
That's
a row.
That's rough.
Oh, my God.
I feel energized. I feel good. It was fine. It was
really?
Fine. I'm ready.
I'm ready for a break.
Because you look terrible.
I'm ready for next week off, and it was fine. It felt good.
Yeah. Not even 3 weeks in a row, but three days out of 21.
Days, 3 days scattered.
Yeah. Over 20, across 21 across actual 21 days. Right.
I know. When you put it like that, I get really tired.
Oh, by the way, my insurance guy is sending a doctor over to give you some tests.
That's a good
idea. I'm taking out some insurance policies.
You are. This is a smart idea. Yeah. We do need to revamp the pool. I think we should put it on the wall.
I agree. I'm telling you, we need to write it out.
Why don't we just buy one big policy and then we'll just spread the money around?
Yeah.
We all go in.
The thing is, right now, though, I mean, I'm an easy bet. Like, I feel like right now the odds, you got to bet for a random to make some real money. I'm the obvious number
the
one.
Best long shot.
You're gonna need to pick a good long shot. You know?
I think we should do it. We should all go to the doctor, all get physicals,
and then have like a numbers guy, like a bet, like a, and then actually and give him the information. Don't give anybody else the information.
I like this.
Like, and have like an actual Vegas numbers guy.
An insurance adjuster or something.
I love this idea, but I want us all to pick people first. And then get revealed where the numbers are. And we can change, that's fine. But I just think it would be fun for us all to go like, look, this is my list. And then and then have the doctor tell us his list.
Yeah.
And then we can rearrange and do the best.
That'd be great.
It could be very sad for people that think they'll be lower on the list to then see the list and make, oh shit, I'm number two.
Yeah. What if like Bevo's probably feeling pretty good right now and she might find out that she's number two or three. Yeah.
Right.
She's probably sitting over there going like, they're not even talking about me. Like, yeah, they're talking about some death list. Like, I'm not on the death list.
I don't sound like that.
You kind of do.
Well,
okay.
Are you sure?
And I'll still win the death bet because I'll just kill all of you.
Oh, I guess if she's the only one left.
Well, if you murder, then you don't get the money.
Another angry person.
That's not how it works.
Where do you think you are? Like, you think you're the last person to die?
No, I think...
Who do you think is the last person to die?
Warren.
I think so, too. Yeah,
you work out, and you're younger than me.
And I'm
married to Sam.
There's something in your blood.
Yeah.
Skin cancer's a real thing.
I married Sam, and I work at the Brewing Network, so clearly I make good life decisions.
Good point.
I'm also here by choice.
What if JP, the person who thinks he's going to die every 8 seconds, is the one who outlives us all?
Because the paranoia.
What if you get what you really want and you end up alone on this planet because we've all died?
As long as I have my reading glasses, I'll be fine.
You don't give a shit. At that point, will you stop worrying about dying? Do you
I'm working on stop worrying about dying.
If you have your last.
I'm in therapy. I'm doing it. But I mean, the cancer thing comes back, right? So that's always a thing. And then apparently, if you've had that kind of surgery, then your immune system is worse. So you have to get like immune shots. Like now, there's like
that
other things.
That sounds like such bullshit to me.
That's what
I'm
think
not telling
too.
You, but why does surgery mean your immune system is compromised?
I don't know.
Sounds weird. Because
it's exposed to air that's not supposed to be exposed. Your sack got torn open. Your meat sack. But so I don't know. Like there's these other things. But like who hasn't? I agree with Bev. It's probably going to be Warren.
I've had surgery, though. My meat sack has been opened.
Oh, shit.
What if it's tasty?
What if it's all of us at the same time?
What if that motherfucker lives till 120-something?
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. No. We should start calling him Harumbe after that.
Plan the party.
All right, we should get the pool together, and we should go for physical.
We should.
But we need to tell our doctors that we need, like, a standardized report, like, so that we can all, like...
No. Release your medical record.
At least, like, a number. Or we could all send our physicals to one doctor who gives us, like, a scale. Like, just give us a fucking number.
Yeah, 0 to 100.
I would
we'll
love
find
this.
Some insurance underwriter.
This would be so fun.
With some, like, knowledge and give them some data and then let them, like, you know...
Because your life activities will impact that also versus just the state of your body, like what you're doing. On a day-to-day.
You know, if you can't see when you cross the street.
Right, exactly. When you can't see and you're driving 80 miles an hour down the freeway.
Hoping for the best.
Every day.
Right, yeah. Every day for 3 hours.
Now we know how Buzz Aldrin felt when he was going to the moon. Right. Fuck, I hope I make it.
That's Beardy driving to San Jose every day.
Yeah.
I think the math is right.
Right. I think he had a safer trip because there's fewer things to hit between here and the moon.
That's right. There's less traffic.
True.
Yeah, than me in San Jose.
All right, Vito, before we go, you wanted to mention a new brewery that's opening up?
Yeah, we were talking about Adam earlier. Adam Thomas, he was with Tahoe Mountain. He's now with Mobcraft. So in Milwaukee. Just wanted to give him a shout out. Yeah.
Milwaukee.
Okay. All right, so Vito, Matt, thanks for coming in, helping us out again, talking to us about all the good beer stuff. I'm looking forward to the follow-up when we get to try the blended and unblended versions.
So are we.
Yeah, very cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Blobber, it's always great to see you. Handies and beer after the show? Is that what's happening?
Absolutely.
Okay, I figured.
And song?
You're buying.
And song I'm buying. Which?
Blobber's buying.
Handies are... Yeah. Okay, and I'll buy the. I can buy the beer.
Right.
I'll do the beer.
Right. His hands are softer.
I don't have to pay for them. I do them.
Oh, even better.
That's fine.
Right.
Just let him think. It's fine.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna get out of here. Don't forget, we're off next week, so we won't see you then. Later.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Thanks to Vito and Matt from our local homebrew club called Dozed, and they shared their love and processes of turbid mashing. Merge your love of Disneyland with your lack of engaging podcasts and go to earsuppodcast.com as JP, Terrence, Bevo, and Taryn talk about all things Disney. Go check out Moscow's Hop Cartoons over at hoplifestore.com. Get on Twitter for some good beer insight and homebrew info. Follow Nate Smith and Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at Tasty McD, JP at Major Jip, and Warren adding to the noise over at Another Beardy. This show is produced by JP, probably, I don't know, and your host has been Justin Crossley. Be sure to find the Brew Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy and winning the race. JP does great as his charity cares.